Ratnan, honorable members and officials from the Department of Police. I just want to see who's present currently. We have Honorable Sisse, Honorable Mketwa, Honorable Bartlett, there's Honorable Nita. Okay, I understand that Honorable Dudobu is trying to log in. Okay, but with that being said, honorable members, welcome to this meeting with the Department of Police Services in terms of their budget and their APP. I see Commissioner Sitoli is with us as well. We have received apologies from Honorable Nikolakis and Honorable Seleku. I hope he's not on the platform. I just want to double check if Honorable Seleku is here. We have Honorable Nkosi as well, who's present. Okay. Honorable members, we received an urgent communique from the minister's office, because I think he is currently in a committee meeting, a cabinet committee meeting, and will join us as soon as he can. But I'm proposing, honorable members, that we go ahead and get the presentation given that the commissioner is present, Commissioner Sitoli is present, if we could perhaps maybe go into the presentation, and as soon as the minister does join us, we'll then also allow him then to take over that process. If that's okay with honorable members, can I propose that we continue with this item on the agenda? Honorable members?
We can continue, Chair.
Okay, thank you. And Gershwin, can you contact Honorable Dudobu? He's looking for the passcode to enter the meeting. But with that being said, let me once again just thank, welcome you, honorable members, to this meeting.
Honorable Chair.
Honorable Chair.
I just want to know, do we have any person politically accountable at this meeting?
I'd indicated that the minister is currently in a cabinet committee meeting, which should end soon. And once he's done there, he will then join us. My proposal was that we then take the presentation so that when we get to our questions, as well as holding the executive to account, at the time the minister would be present with us. Honourable Professor, and there are honourable members are saying we can't continue with the presentation.
Fine, ma'am.
These presentations are also signed off by the minister. Honourable Professor?
Yes, Honourable Chair, it's fine with me then. Okay, thank you.
Okay, no, thank you very much. As I was saying, welcome Honourable Members, and let me just welcome the officials from the Department of Police to this meeting. In terms of your budget and the APP for 2021-2022. As a committee, we have engaged the department previously, but jointly with the PC Committee on Police. However, bearing in mind that the mandate of the National Council of Provinces is to ensure that provincial interests are taken into account at the national level, We've also asked the department to focus on specific issues, and hence members will note that their presentation also reflected provincial budgets, provincial allocations for the implementation of the gender-based violence action plan, successes and challenges in the firearms amnesty, amongst others. This more for the benefit of us as the select committee. And I think the areas that we've requested are also outlined in terms of slide 3 of their presentation. But that also being said, honorable members, we are also aware that the department is still working within a COVID-19 pandemic environment. And hence, we would also want to understand their circumstances and the impact that COVID-19 has had on their program. So we've also requested that they touch a bit on this. Members, we have also received about 10 or 15 minutes ago another communique from the Minister's Office, which also does provide further details. I understand that it did come quite late to us as members. We might not have had an opportunity to go through that information. But be that as it may, the information has also been emailed to members, but that does not stop members from engaging in terms of the presentation that we received. I'm going to request, Gershwin, if you can just also monitor or inform us when the minister does join the meeting. And we'll take it from there. But that being said, I'm going to then request Commissioner Sithole to then perhaps take us through the presentation, and as and when the minister joins us, I guess we'll then deal with that aspect. Commissioner? Okay, it's not Commissioner who, I see he's on the platform, am I mistaken? Can I get an indication from staff who's leading the delegation from the side of administration?
Hi, Chairperson. I believe the commissioner is here. Let me just find out by then. Yeah, I think there's just some technical issues. We're just sorting this out.
Okay. Member Zeri, if you could just bear with this technical issue for a moment. I would have seen that we do form a quorum. I would have probably have started with the second agenda item. But given that we're waiting on the department, perhaps let's just wait a bit. But our second agenda item will be just dealing with the budget and ADP report of Home Affairs.
Yeah, and this is... Not yet.
Good afternoon, Chair.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair. That's Lieutenant General Reed speaking. Good afternoon, honorable members. The National Commissioner was linked. He's just been kicked out. Chair is trying to get back to this platform. I just want to indicate to the chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Lieutenant General Reed. Our members, can I perhaps propose while dealing with the technical issues of connectivity and the fact that the minister we still also going to be awaiting him joining the meeting, given that he's in a cabinet committee meeting. Can I propose that we actually then deal with the report on the budget and APP for Home Affairs? Honourable members?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear? I can hear,
Chair.
Yes, Honourable Bartlett, Honourable Nika.
I said, Chair, we can deal with the report.
Yeah, I propose we do that, Honourable members, while we're waiting for the connectivity result. Gershon, can you perhaps reflect the report? Honourable members would have received this report, and I hope you've had sufficient time to go through with it. But I think that what is more important for the committee, because the bulk of the report deals with the aspects that were presented to us as a committee. Perhaps, Gershon, we can go to the recommendation, which also includes the committee's observation. The rest of the report actually covers what was presented to the committee. Okay, I think in terms of the recommendations or end observations, the first one was that the department should ensure that the appropriate legal mechanisms are put in place at border posts to address illegal border crossing from neighboring countries. Members encouraged the department to continue its working relationship with the SANDF to ensure that the border posts are sufficiently protected. The next observation and recommendation is that committee members welcome the detailed implementation plan for the Border Management Authority. Members recommended that the department should strictly adhere to the plan in order to ensure that the BMA is implemented within the stipulated timeframe. The next session. 5.3 is the department should address fraud and corruption both within the department and at the border post. Consequence management should be implemented to address the challenges related to fraud and corruption. 5.4, the department should ensure that it engages extensively with all communities in respect of the marriage policy in order for all views to be captured in crafting the legislation. 5.5, Members noted that the law enforcement operation functions of the department is of the utmost importance in curbing illegal migration and raised concerns in respect of the capacity and resource constraints. Members encouraged the department to continue working cooperatively with law enforcement agencies to ensure that the law enforcement operations are not compromised. 5.6, members encouraged the department to roll out sufficient awareness raising campaigns in light of the upcoming local government election to ensure that all the citizens receive their identity documents timely so as to be able to register and vote during the 2021 election. 5.7, members encouraged the department to continue implementing cost-saving measures to reduce the cost to reduce the goods and services budget. These measures should include the proposed move from private leases to state-owned properties. 5.8, members acknowledged the budget cuts in respect of compensation to employees. However, members encouraged the department to ensure that critical vacant posts were filled as a matter of urgency and that the current vacancies in provincial offices should not compromise service delivery. Nine members raised concern in relation to the long queues in the Department of Home Affairs offices. Members noted that the department was entering into MOUs with banks to address this matter. Members recommended that the department should address this matter urgently to ensure that efficient service delivery was available to all citizens. 5.10, members were concerned about the connectivity challenge of mobile units in rural areas and recommended that the department should prioritize this matter to ensure that citizens living in rural areas receive adequate access to the services provided by the department. 5.11, members were encouraged by the department's partnership with the UNHCR to address the backlog that exists within the asylum application process. Members recommended that the department continue with this initiative to ensure that asylum applications are processed expeditiously so as to improve public confidence in the department. Members welcome 5.12, members welcome the department's efforts in terms of recruiting 36 lawyers to assist in terms of their backlog when it comes to the asylum seekers and with their ongoing process of filling the 53 critical vacant posts. And as a committee, we encourage the department to find innovative ways to ensure that the important services which it delivers is not compromised significantly by budget cuts, and the committee further indicated that it would continue with its oversight work over the department's capital projects within the provinces and over the implementation of the Board of Management Authority. On members, this is the report that is to be considered and that we support budget work 5. Are there any additions that members would like to make to the report and or comments, and if not, whether members would want to propose the adoption of the report. Our members? Honorable Bartlett?
Yes. Can I get Honorable Bartlett? No, I think that Honorable Kosi wants to ask something, that's why I pause first.
Okay,
Honorable Kosi. No, Chair, I don't want to ask anything. I didn't see any voices. I didn't hear any voices. That is why I was shouting so that I can and talk. But you can give Honorable Bartlett. I'll come after her. Thank you.
Honorable Bartlett. No, Chair, I wanted to propose for adoption of the report. That's why I said give Honorable Kosi.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I second the proposal for the adoption of the report. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Kofi. Are there any objections and or abstentions? Okay, Honorable Fetter? Honorable Fetter? Your hand is up.
The DI abstains. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you very much. The report is duly adopted, Honourable Members. I think we can now go back to the steps that is an APP. Gershwin, if you can give us an indication whether the connection issues have been resolved. I see Commissioner Sitoli is on the platform. Commissioner, are you able to speak to us?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon, Honorable Members. We just want to apologize for the connection problems, but we are now fully connected. We do have our delegation in attendance. We've got Deputy National Commissioners, we've got Divisional Commissioners, we also have Provincial Commissioners. And our presentation is also ready. It will be led by strategic management as well as the CFO function. If the chair and the committee is ready, we will be prepared to start the presentation. We'll hear from your direction, Chair.
Please, Commissioner, we were waiting for the presentation. Please continue.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think Major General Leon Rabi will then take the floor and will later be joined by the CFO, Lieutenant General Limpane. Leon, can you proceed?
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members of the Committee, Senior Management of the South African Police Service. Honourable Chair, thank you. Our presentation today, as you indicated, will focus on a couple of aspects that we will first deal with the 2021 estimates of national expenditure in terms of the ENE, where we will give the background, the allocation, the spending trends, the budget allocation per financial programs, also as per the economic classifications. We will do a reflection on the compensation budget, the MTS funding analysis, general remarks, our spending focus for the upcoming financial year, as well as 2 years, as well as some notes of general nature. Then, Honourable Chair, we will focus on specific feedback that was requested by the committee, where we will provide the inputs as that was requested, that talks to the provincial allocations, the prioritised stations and provinces, the specific budget allocations for training, recruitment of and filling of vacancies, the GBV action plan, the provincial allocations for the implementation of the GBV action plan, the Firearm Control Act, the SAPS litigation in respect of civil claims, the overview of the firearm amnesty budget, the legal, illegal firearms and amnesty that's been handed in during the amnesty, and then the successes, challenges, and lessons learned during the amnesty. And then the last portion of the presentation, Honourable Chair, will focus on the specific priorities that we as a department have identified, and that is included in our annual performance plan for 21-22, and that will be structured according to the 5 financial programs. Honourable Chair, with your permission, I will now hand over to the CFO that will take us through the financial aspects, and as soon as that is concluded, I will then follow with the rest of the planning information. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good afternoon to the Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, the National Commissioner, all the senior managers in the South African Police Service. My presentation will start on slide number 6, Honorable Chair. On the slide number 6, we want to indicate the background to the 2021 estimates of national expenditure. According to National Treasury Directive, referring to the 2021 amounts to be appropriated for vote 28, which is vote for police, appropriation is in relation to the expenditure allocation per program, appropriation of expenditure allocation per economic classification. We also want to indicate that strategic plan and the APP was compiled according to the framework referring to, amongst others, resource aspects and overview of the 2021 budget estimate. Extent and impact of COVID-19 on the 2021 is to be determined. In the next slide, Honorable Chair, we are indicating that the budget is compiled for 3 years but revised annually. For the 2021 MTEF, there were changes to the baselines. They were affected by, amongst others, the prioritization between departments, inflationary increases, as well as substantial budget reductions. On the next slide, Chairperson, this is the medium-term expenditure framework allocation letter that the department received for vote 28, which is police, it indicates as follows. For 2021 MTF indicative allocations, the departmental baseline was as follows. For 2021, the department was allocated 108.2 billion. For 2022, the department was allocated 112.6 billion. For 2023-24, the department was allocated 108.5 billion. Then baseline reductions were introduced as follows. We had a reduction for year one on compensation of employees to the amount of 11.1 billion. 22-23, 14.8 billion, and the outer year with a 9.7 billion introduced. For departmental agencies and accounts, there was a reduction that was introduced, 3.8 million for year two with a 4.4 million introduced, with the outer year 4.7 million introduced. Goods and services as well, there were reductions that were introduced with year one, 673.1 million, year two, 878.4 million, with the outer year experiencing a significant reduction of 1.5 billion from the baseline. Households targeting claims against the state, 45.4 million was introduced for 21-22, 23-53.5 million was reduced, with the outer year 97.1 million reduced from the baseline. There was also reprioritization from compensation of employees to transfers to households, essentially to cater for leave payouts on exit from such members, with 85 million for year one and two, and 88.4 million for the outer year. The total allocation for the department for year 21-22 96.355 billion, for year two, 96.857 billion, with the outer year, 97.083 billion allocated. In the next slide, Honorable Chair, we are indicating the spending trends from 17-18 for over a period of years, but with a concentration of the 2021 financial year, the department is experiencing a 0.8 decrease on average annual growth. The next slide, Chair, budget allocation per financial programs. Programs reflect broad purposes and functions on which funds are expended. We want to indicate as follows. Program one, which is administration, 2021, there is an allocation of 19.936 billion, which is an increase of 4.9%. Program two, visible policing, there is an allocation of 49.534 billion, which is a decrease of 7.2%. Program three, detective services. This program, it must be noted that it includes the DPCI. There is an allocation of 19.542 billion, which is a marginal decrease of 0.7%. For 2021. Crime intelligence, which is program four, an allocation of 4.111 billion, which experienced a decrease of a 2.1% for the year. And allocation for protection and security services, which is program five, 3.232 billion, which is a 1% decrease. Overall, there is a 3.2% decrease for the allocation for 2021 financial year. 2023, the department will experience a 0.5 marginal increase in terms of the allocation, with the outer year with a 0.2% increase. The next slide, Chairperson, reflects the budget weight for 21-22 in terms of economic classification. This slide is basically indicating that compensation of employees still weighs 78.1% in terms of the total allocation of the budget to the subs, with 16.9% for goods and services, 1.4% for transfers payments, as well as a 3.6% for capital payments. The next slide unpacks the economic classification in terms of the budget allocation. These items represent goods and services to pursue purpose and function. In terms of current payments, you've got compensation of employees with an allocation of 75.301 billion, with a that represents a 1.1% decrease goods and services with an allocation of 16.270 for 2021 financial year. It is a decrease of 16.3%. Transfers and subsidies with an allocation of 1.333 billion with a decrease of 17.4%. Payments for capital assets that is made up of buildings and other fixed structures as well as machinery and equipment. Buildings and other fixed structures, there is an allocation of 947 million, which is an increase of 90.2%. Machinery and equipment, this is the vehicles in the main, with an allocation of 2.497 billion, which is an increase of 20.1%. In terms of compensation of employees for 2022-23, there is a 0% increase. For 2023, also a 0% increase that will be experienced. Goods and services for the second year, 2.9% increase with a very marginal increase of 0.4% on the outer year. In terms of transfers and subsidies, there is a decrease of 5.6% for the year two, with a marginal increase of 0.7% for year three. Payment for capital assets, buildings and other structures, an increase of 1.5% for year two and an increase of 4.4% for year three. Machinery and equipment with an increase of 3.9% for year two and 3.9% for year three. The next slide, Chairperson, we are unpacking compensation of employees allocation for 21-22 financial year. This particular category is made up of as follows. There is a wage bill that we have provided for. This wage bill is your salaries, pensions, service bonus, enlistment, personnel losses, the DTCI, etc. There is a 58.724 billion that has been provided for. Cost of living salary adjustment, there is no provision, as we are still awaiting processes that are currently underway from the Department of Treasury and government. Pay progression with a provision of 1.5%, that amounts to 681 million that has been provided for. Allowances, there is a 2.265 billion that has been provided for. For overtime, we have provided our normal baseline overtime with 711 million. For this year, there is also provision that we needed to make for ourselves with an additional 200 million that we have set aside to ensure that we police the upcoming local government elections successfully. Rental and housing allowance, there is a 2.986 billion that has been set aside for this purpose. Medical schemes, which is our two medical schemes, which is GEMS and COLMED, there is a 9.734 billion that has been set aside for this purpose. So in the main, the 78% that we spoke about earlier on, it's for this year, it's 75.301 billion just for compensation of employees. The next slide, Chair, is just general remarks in terms of our analysis on this funding, the MPF funding. We are indicating that personnel is the primary cost driver in the vote, police, and also drives direct operational expenditure. Compensation expenditure is therefore normally determined from zero, taking into account existing personnel and new personnel where after they are portioned between programs. Operational expenditure relates predominantly to goods and services and machinery and equipment in order to perform our services. Essentially, this budget types are three. We are having three budget types, which is the compensation budget, operational budget, as well as capital budget. These are the spending focus areas for the 2021 up to 2023-24 for the department. The spending focus on goods and services and capital investment over the medium term includes the following. The reduction in the compensation of employees budget baseline will require subs to reprioritize in terms of reallocation of resources, as well as a bit of investment in technology. We are also going to focus on GBG and additional emphasis on FCS units by allocating an amount of 1.272 billion for proactive as well as reactive response to this crime. we will continue to sustain the forensic services baseline allocation as increased in the previous financial year. We also going to sustain the DPCI baseline allocation as recently increased. We will also focus on professionalizing the police service through skills development, where the department will also continue to strengthen the criminal justice system by supporting the integrated criminal justice strategy, investing in capital assets consisting of machinery and equipment, essentially transport assets as well as mobile police stations. We will also continue to focus on other critical items such as bullet proofs, firearms, ammunition, to ensure that our members are having the necessary tools of trade to do their work. The capacitation of existing public order police units, as well as interventions throughout the country in terms of deployment to ensure stability, will also remain a priority. Chairperson, provinces and police stations that have been taken, that have been prioritized in the 21-22 and over the MTSF, we want to indicate that there are top 30 high contact crime weight stations in the country that have been prioritized in terms of resources. Each province also identifies high crime stations in this particular regard. To this end, the breakdown of the budget in this regard in relation to the allocation of to provinces, we are indicating, Chairperson, that these particular baseline allocations are operational types of expenditure. This excludes compensation of employees, which is your salaries. Salaries are centralized, Chairperson, in head office. The allocations are as follows. For Western Cape, there is an allocation of 845.9 million. Northern Cape will receive 360.8 million. Free State, 516.2 million. Eastern Cape with an allocation of 934 million. KwaZulu-Natal, 1.1 billion. Mpumalanga, 500 million. Limpopo, 585 million. Gauteng, 1.4 billion. Northwest, 545 million. We are also indicating that this particular allocation, Chairperson, includes overtime that we have provided for, as well as additional funding for prioritized functions which were sustained, and these allocations, there is an average increase of 4%. Provinces received their budget allocations inclusive of additional priorities, and they are currently in the process of apportioning this particular allocation to the police stations. Once we are done, Chairperson, if we are allowed for the first quarter, we will be able to provide them the final allocations to the police stations. We must just indicate that those additional priorities that we are talking about, Chairperson, includes, amongst others, additional funding to provinces to cater for the procurement of vehicle sample kits. There are provinces where anti-gang units have been funded. There is additional funding to deal with GDV action plan, which will then, which we spoke about, that talks to the proactive as well as reactive initiatives towards this crime. There is also additional funding within these allocations to the provinces to address the issues of security at police stations. We also identified the top five provinces, and we made an additional allocation to those provinces. All the provinces received an extra amount to deal with stations that would be giving us problems in terms of high contact crime. So this allocation is inclusive of those priorities together with the baseline that we have given to the provinces. We are going to go to the next slide, Chairperson, which then indicates that the province with the highest incidence of reported crimes has been prioritized. We indicated that these are the five provinces, your Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and Mpumalanga. These particular provinces, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape, there is an extra 10 million that has been allocated to them specifically to deal with problematic stations. Mpumalanga received an additional 6 million, and the rest of the other provinces have received an additional 4 million to ensure that those stations that are currently on the top 30 on the priority list do receive attention to ensure that we reduce those crimes and by resourcing those particular stations. As a result of baseline decreases in the vote, as a person, we are indicating that a decision was taken to say we must migrate resources to the local level. We were able to increase these allocations to the provinces by targeting national competencies to allow us this 4% increase that we could then reallocate to the provinces. In the next slide, Chairperson, we are then saying the top 30 high contact time waste stations in the country have been prioritized for resourcing accordingly. Also, over and above that, the provincial commissioners, they also identify their list in terms of the stations that will be giving us problems to target them for proper resourcing. Notwithstanding the above prioritization, additional funding for prominent environments has also been allocated to provinces. I spoke about the SCS. To deal with the gender-based violence issues, as well as vulnerable groups, as well as safety and police stations, etc. Next slide, Chairperson. We then were requested to provide information on specific areas. The training allocation, an amount of 257 has been put aside for this particular purpose. And as well as an additional 115 million has also been allocated for expenditure associated with trainees that are currently undergoing training. Recruitment and filling of posts, we are indicating that we had a substantial budget reduction that has been introduced over the MTEF. It is expected that as staff we manage personnel numbers and to plan accordingly in terms of our human resource priorities within the compensation ceiling. The filling of key vacancies and recruitment processes are therefore being prioritized within the discretionary funding, also taking into account the affordability thereof over the MTEF. Recruitment in the DPCI and forensic services environments are currently in the process. The next slide, Chairperson, we were requested to give an indication on specific allocation for the GDVF. There is a plan that has been put together by the department. The department has allocated an estimated amount of 1.2 billion on the baseline activities related to GDVF as well as FCS units, and it has been divided as follows. FCS units across the country will receive 1.142 billion. To ensure that we attend to the human and as well as other resources, and this includes operational expenses. There is also a 30 million that has been allocated in the main program to attend to the issues of youth, children and vulnerable groups, including awareness campaigns. In addition to the above, an additional 100 million has been allocated to provinces for this particular purpose. In the next slide, Chairperson, we are just unpacking the 100 million, how it has been allocated to the provinces with West to address the issues of GDVF. Western Cape receiving 13.3 million, Northern Cape 5.9 million, Free State 7.9 million, Eastern Cape 14.3 million, KwaZulu-Natal 17 million, Mpumalanga 7.9 million, with Limpopo receiving 8.4 million, and Gauteng 17 million, and Northwest 7.9 million. This budget allocation to provinces to ensure that the action plan that has been developed by the department is executed successfully. This is to address both the proactive as well as the reactive initiatives to this particular crime. In the next slide, Chairperson, we were also requested to give indication on specific allocation for the implementation of the Firearms Control Act. We are indicating that an amount of 30 million has been allocated in addition to the baseline for this purpose. Also, an amount of 52 million has been allocated to the Division Technology Management Services to ensure that the firearm control system is in place. Such litigation in respect of civil claims, Chairperson, we are indicating that it is estimated that claims to the value of 300 million will be received from the state attorney's office for purposes of litigation action on behalf of SAP for both civil claims as well as court actions that would have been brought about by our members challenging their dismissals, disciplinary actions as well as charges. This is an estimated amount, Chairperson, and it is taken from our previous experience in relation to the invoices and expenses that we have incurred on this basis. In the next slide, Chairperson. Overview of the firearms amnesty budget. In the previous financial year, an amount of 6 million was allocated for this purpose. There was actual expenditure that was incurred at the end of March to the amount of 3.4 million. It was essentially for advertising and marketing, consumables or procurement of consumables through government printing, travel and subsistence. And there was also an amount of 1.5 million, which was budgeted for advertising and marketing. There was an amount that was not spent to the value of 991, which was then subsequently returned, which was not utilized. Chairperson, I want to go to the next slide. The slide is talking to the additional information that was requested in relation to the legal and illegal firearms handed in during the amnesty. There is an indication there, Chairperson, in relation to Eastern Cape. This particular slide will give feedback for 1920 as well as 2021. Eastern Cape illegal firearms handed in, 223 illegal firearms, there is a 2000 that is indicated there. This is now the statistics for 1920. We are indicating that in total, the legal firearms there's a total of 7987 legal firearms that were handed in, illegal firearms 39, 422, for 2021, 2023, 1,737 firearms were handed in that were illegal. And Chairperson, there is a 74,000 worth of firearms that were illegal that were handed in the 2021 financial year. In the next slide, Chair. Ammunition handed in during the amnesty period. There are total, there are figures there, Chair, if you permit, that I don't read per province, but the totals between 1920, 319,435, as well as 404,524 for 2021. In the next slide, Chair. We were also requested to provide the information in relation to the successes, challenges and lessons learned in respect of the amnesty that ended on the 31 January 2021 compared to the previous amnesty period. There are successes that are highlighted. The Chairperson, firearms surrendered for destruction will be permanently removed from circulation and possible involvement in illegal activities. Firearms surrendered for relicensing will enhance the database for firearms system. There were challenges, though, Chairperson, that have been highlighted to the committee. COVID-19 was an impediment towards the implementation of firearm amnesty due to the periodic closure of police stations as well as the restrictions on the movement of goods and people, especially during the 1920 amnesty period. Personnel at the Central Firearm Registry, national provinces and stations were on rotation in compliance with the COVID-19 regulations, which had an impact on the administration of the amnesty and related processes. Participants handed in firearms towards the end of the amnesty, which resulted in long queues, delayed capturing of data due to the bulk of firearms surrendered, and an increase in complaints about service delivered. The Chairperson, there is also more than 10,000 firearms that were handled in during the last month. In the next slide, Chair, lessons learned from the previous amnesties. The department is indicating that there is a need for vigorous awareness campaigns prior and during the amnesty to reach all areas within the Republic to ensure maximum participation. participation. There is also a need for awareness campaigns to advocate that amnesty participants utilize the entire amnesty period and not wait for the end of the period. These are the lessons that the department has learned, and we are working on improvement in this particular regard. Chairperson, with your permission, the next slide will then be, the committee will be taken through by Major General Rani. With your permission, Chairperson, thank you.
Good afternoon. Again, Honourable Chair, I will then continue with the rest of the planning information and also touching on one of the areas that the committee requested us to respond on, and we have made a written submission in this regard. My understanding was, Honourable Chair, that you indicated that it was received this afternoon. So there was a request from the committee for the SAPS to indicate which of the specific sonar priorities we are addressing in the, or currently focusing on the, in the organization. And what we have on the slide is we are highlighting those specific areas in the 2019 State of the Nation address, which is very prominent, is the violent crime to be halved in a decade. That remains one of the top priorities of the organization, and significant progress has made in, has been made in this regard, and it continues to be a priority in the 21-22 annual performance plan of the South African Police Service, where we continue to target an average reduction of 7.5% as far as violent crime is concerned. The 2021 State of the Nation address, Honourable Chair, we identified a couple of aspects as it is highlighted on the slide. And in our written submission, we are giving the committee, or we have given the committee, detailed feedback on progress that we have made in terms of each one of these. We are focusing on the job creation opportunities. The CFO has indicated that this is an area that has been affected by COVID-19. Because of COVID-19 restrictions and also the budget reductions, there has been a limit in terms of what we initially planned for the purpose of recruitment, but certain recruitment activities continues. The advancing honesty, ethics and integrity in the public service, there we have our financial disclosure frameworks, etc., that is implemented in the organization, where we currently have high levels of compliance, and we are also targeting the review of the anti-corruption strategy in the current financial year. Talking to building a capable and professional civil service, as far as that is concerned, we continue with the recruitment and enlistment of employees, although it's limited due to budget constraints, etc., but we also have identified specific areas where investments will be made and capacitated as we go through the 21-22 financial year, as it was highlighted by the CFO already. As far as the improved cooperation and sharing of resources between the respective law enforcement agencies are concerned, we are also highlighting in our submission successes in terms of the asset forfeiture investigations within the DPCI. We will move with specific reference to our seizure orders, forfeiture orders, seizure orders, etc. And we are giving in that submission the detail and the value associated with that. If I may quote just one example, I would say the seizure orders, the four restraint orders to the value of 32 million and 120 preservation orders to the value of 116 million. And the As far as fraud and corruption in the procurement of COVID-19 is concerned, one of the examples that we would like to quote that is included in the written submission is the fusion center that has been established, and it comprises the DPCI, the National Prosecuting Authority Specialized Commercial Crime Unit, Asset Forfeiture Unit, Detective Service of the South African Police Service, the Special Investigation Unit, the Financial Intelligence Center, the South African Revenue Service, the State Security Agency, and they were established to address fraud and corruption identified that's currently under investigation that relates to the COVID-19 processes. Then another area that we are addressing is cable theft, your railway infrastructure, vandalism, land invasions, etc., that has been referred to in the State of the Nation address. And as far as that is concerned, just quoting some of the successes is the implementation of the National rural safety strategy that started on the 1st of April 2020, and it stretches to 31 March 2025. And then another success, as an example, is the SAPS that is part of the task team established by the Interministerial Committee on Land Reform and Agriculture that was tasked to review the rural safety strategy and develop a national mechanism for responding to crime and violence in rural areas. The plans, as far as some of the planned activities are concerned, as far as that is concerned, is the establishment of rural safety desk with a crime intelligence capacity with the intention to monitor rural safety incidents, etc. The Border Management Agency, that is on slide 32, fast-tracking the implementation of the Border Management Agency. There we are, have established a task team, and we are currently involved in the process of establishing the agency as it has been referred to. Gender-based violence and femicide is another area, Honourable Chair, but a lot has been said by the CFO as far as our financial commitments are concerned, and she made also reference to the departmental gender-based violence plan that has been implemented by the department. And then the approved policy that 40% of public procurement should go to women-owned businesses. As far as our procurement processes, et cetera, are concerned, we are taking that into consideration, and SAP is awarding the contracts and concluding procurement actions in terms of the triple PFA, which includes endeavors towards compliance in terms of national strategy to women-owned businesses. And then lastly, providing greater opportunities for persons with disabilities, et cetera. And what has been allocated, therefore, as an example, is 2 million that was allocated for and spent on accommodation for members with disabilities, etc. So, well, I would say there is the detail, more detail in the written submission that we've made. But with your permission, in the interest of time, I will not be dealing with all the detail that we have submitted to the committee. As far as the planning process of the department is concerned, we have basically identified five key areas that we will be focusing on and have identified specific outcomes associated with those. The first area is upholding the law and the law upheld and enforced to underpin the stamping of the authority of the state. That in essence talks to our police crime prevention type of activities, our specialized interventions in terms of public order policing, etc. Then the second area focuses on a thorough and responsive investigation of crime. Intelligence-led policing, the third area. Collaborative and consultative approach to policing, four, that includes your community consultation and citizenry actively supporting our fight against crime. And the first four areas, Honourable Chair, are outward-looking areas that relates directly to the mandate, the constitutional mandate of the department, and specific outcomes are associated with that, as it is reflected in the columns on the outer borders of the slide. And the last one is inward-looking priority that looks at the professional and capable SAPs, where we're looking at resourcing of the organization, ethics and integrity, and good or sound corporate governance. As far as the detail on the slide is concerned, Honorable Chair, they will repeat themselves when we go through the rest of the presentation. So I will just skip those and move directly to the annual performance plan of SAPS, indicating which are the priorities that we will be focusing on. And in each one of the respective programs, as the CFO indicated, I will just quickly provide the committee with an overview of the respective sub-programs within the programs and what allocation has been made. And I will only focus on the 21-22 allocation in terms of the sub-programs. So for the ministry, there's 62 million, management 84 million, and corporate services 19.7 billion. So as far as that is concerned, the Civilian Secretariat of Police now has got their own vote, and they are no longer reflected as a transfer payment within our vote. Corporate services includes inter alia, this is the breakdown of the within that specific sub-program. We have human resource development with an allocation of 2.1 billion. Technology management services and allocation of 3.1 billion, supply chain management 4.2 billion, of which 947 million is for capital building projects. And then we have human resource management 1.9 billion, finance 1.1 billion, and corporate support 1.2 billion. Now, Chair, these are the indicators and the performance measures that we will be focusing on in the financial year. In the interest of time, I will only be reflecting on the specific targets for the 21-22 financial year. The layout of the slides on the right-hand side is the specific output that has been identified by the organization. The first one talks to the improvement of the regulation of firearms. And then we have the specific indicator that the department will be measuring and this target associated with that. So as far as the losses of firearms are concerned, we are targeting, again, a 10% reduction year on year over the MTF period. Our output to improve access to policing, we are targeting the establishment of three new police stations in 21-22, and then 7 and 8 in the outer years. Honourable Chair, we will also then indicate, just for the interest of the committee, where we have specific dependencies. In this regard, there is a dependency on the Department of Public Works and for the management of construction. That is their responsibility, as well as the contract suppliers when we talk about the procurement of new mobile contact points. We are targeting the 15 new police contact mobile contact points to be procured in 21-22 financial year. Our next focus area is the modernization of the SAPS network and prioritized sites. There we are targeting our digital radio communication infrastructure sites, 4 for the upcoming, also the current financial year, 10 in the following year and 16 in the outer year. And there we have a dependency on CITA that is responsible for the contract and contracted suppliers. There's a similar dependency when we're looking at the national network communication infrastructure sites that needs to be modernized. We are targeting 90 wide area network sites to be modernized and implemented in the 21-22 financial year, and then 50 and 80 in the outer years. The capability of SAPS members, Honourable Chair, there are a couple of priority training areas that we are targeting that includes, first of all, crime prevention, crimes against women and children, and crime investigations. And there we are targeting 97% of the people that will be trained needs to be declared competent. Honourable Chair will also note on this slide, we have a little red block that indicates GPVF. That is just an indication that this specific commitment and deliverable is linked to the national gender-based violence and femicide national strategic plan. That also linked to the second specialized capabilities, where we are targeting the training of public order policing, forensic science, crime intelligence, and cybercrime. And our target in that regard is 97% of those learners to be declared competent. As far as the ethics and integrity in the organization is concerned, we have a comprehensive ethics and integrity plan for the organization, and we are committing to 100% compliance with the respective elements within that plan. The elements that are included there is your financial disclosures and certificates of remunerative work that is forms part of the specific deliverables included in our ethics and integrity plan. Our responsibility as far as the IPED-related cases is concerned, our commitment remains that 90% of the recommendations that are received from IPED are finalized within the 60-day calendar days as it is indicated in the relevant legislation. Also linked to, this is a new legend, Honourable Chair, where you note the little red block with MTSF. This is a specific deliverable that is linked to the broader government's medium-term strategic framework. And we have included those in our plan. On slide 40, you will note as far as sound financial management is concerned, there are two deliverables that talks to unauthorized expenditure and irregular expenditure. Unauthorized, we maintain zero incidents, zero tolerance as far as that is concerned over the MTF period. Initially, as far as irregular expenditure is concerned, Honourable Chair, we were targeting a 5% reduction, but we have since aligned our target with the DPSA directive that prescribes a 67.5% reduction in year one, 70% in year two, and 72.5% in year three. The same principle applies, Chair, to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That is still part of our sound financial management, where we also targeted 5%, but we have made the alignment since. So now our target is 70% reduction in year one, 80 and 90% in the two other years. The audits, this is a commitment that relates to a culture of regulatory compliance and performance management. Audits completed, our audits that are planned, and as soon as it has been approved by our audit committee in SAPS, 100% of those audits must be completed within the financial year. The same applies to the planned forensic investigations, of which we, for instance, had 8 in the previous financial year. As soon as that plan has been approved, the commitment is that 100% of the planned activities to be executed. Inspections by our inspectorate capability, we are targeting 231 inspections in the current financial year. That forms part of the approved action plan. And Honourable Chair will also note that as far as that specific our inspection plan is concerned, we have made the link to the GBVF National Strategic Plan to ensure that our inspection efforts also focuses on issues that relates to commitments within the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence. Corporate governance, we have developed a corporate governance framework in draft format as it currently is, and the target is that it must be fully implemented by 31 March 2022 as part of our effort to ensure that we have a properly developed corporate governance framework developed and implemented for the organization. Then we are moving to program two. Program two is visible policing. In program two, we have four sub-programs, crime prevention, where there's an allocation of 38 billion, that is compared to 42 in the previous financial year. Border security, a 2.2 billion allocation. Specialized interventions, 4.5 billion allocation, facilities, 4.5 billion. That totals to 49 billion, as it was already presented by the CFO, and the committee will then note that that is then slightly lower than the allocation of the previous financial year. This is our biggest financial program in the department. It carries a weight of 51%. And just a breakdown in terms of the what lies within each one of these sub-programs. Crime prevention, there's a 34.9 billion allocation. Railway police, 1.1 billion. K9, 891 million. Mounted police, 145 million. Youth, children and gender-based violence, 30 million. But Chair, note that I will address the GBV in the more comprehensive allocation is within program three. This is just as far as prevention and awareness measures are concerned. Flying squad, 1.1 billion. Detained persons, 236 million. Our border security, that includes our ports of entry. There we have an allocation of 2.2 billion. In our specialized interventions, specialized capabilities, that includes the Special Task Force, 78 million, our National Intervention Unit, 309 million, Tactical Response Teams, 448 million, and Public Order Policing, 2.6 billion. And then also included in this program is our municipal services to the amount of 1.3 billion, leases, 1.5 billion, and accommodation charges for state-owned facilities, 1.6 billion. The measures within this environment, first of all, the focus on the regulation of firearms. There we are focusing on the recovery of firearms, where we are targeting a 1% increase in our recoveries compared to the previous financial year. The number of identified stolen lost SAPS owned firearms recovered, there we are targeting a 10% increase to 593. And firearm licenses, we are targeting 90% to be processed and finalized within 120 working days. The reduced availability of illegal liquor, I would say that links to the GBV National Strategic Plan, where we are committing to the closure of illegal liquor outlets. There we are targeting 100% of those identified illegal liquor outlets to be closed. a reduction in number of reported contact crimes. That links to the reduction in the levels of contact crime that is part of the medium-term strategic framework of broader government, where we are targeting 7.48%. And as I indicated, Honourable Chair, that links to the reduction to the commitment to reduce violent crime with 50% over the next decade. So our targets have been aligned with that commitment to ensure that if we achieve the targets, the anticipated target will be achieved. We also apply the same principle basically as a sub-indicator to our top 30 high crime weight stations, where we are targeting a 7.42% reduction in reported contact crime. Escapes from custody, reducing that with 2% to 526. Recovery of vehicles to maintain that at 25,352. The percentage of police stations, this is linked to the GBV National Strategic Plan that provides victim-friendly services to victims of crime. The 100% of all our police station, functional police stations, must provide such services. Reduce violence against women. This is the next couple of two indicators, Chair, links to both the medium-term strategic framework of government as well as the GBV strategic plan. We are targeting the reduction of reported contact crimes against women, a 6.9% reduction. Contact crime against children below 18 years, we are targeting a 6.73% reduction. And then targeting as far as our community partnerships are concerned, all our, or 99.57% of our functional police stations must have fully functional community police forums. There are currently three police stations where it is not practically possible to have community police forums because it's very sparsely populated, and primarily we have migrant workers in those station areas. Police visibility, there are three areas that we've identified that we will be focusing on. The first one is our Community in Blue concept. We have already initiated that in three provinces. The target is to do that in the remaining six provinces by the end of the 21-22 financial year. Introduction of the traditional policing concept. That has been initiated in one province. We are targeting another province in this financial year. And lastly, the Safer City framework has been initiated. We have been piloting 10 pilot cities in the previous financial year, and the intention is to add another 10 cities and towns in the upcoming financial year for the introduction and initiation of a Safer City framework with the cooperation of the relevant municipalities, local government, as well as other government departments. The next couple of indicators, Honourable Chair, this is our specialized interventions, the sub-program that deals with the deployment of our public order policing capabilities as well as our specialized capabilities, the special task force, etc. These are basically driven by a request, and the commitment remains that we respond to all the requests that are received. First of all, as far as peaceful crowd management incidents, the requests are concerned. 100% of those requests must be attended to. The same applies to incidents of unrest, crowd management, 100% deployment to incidents. And then our specialized operations capability in terms of medium to high risk incidents responded to. We are also continuing to respond to 100% of those requests received. Illegal mining, 100% of the requests that we receive as far as the high risk request in terms of identified illegal mining operations are concerned, must be responded to. In terms of border security, that needs to be effectively managed. In terms of the hits on the movement control system that relates to both wanted persons and circulated and stolen robbed goods, we remain committed to respond to all those hits that are identified on the movement control and the enhanced movement control systems. The border security effectively managed in terms of the profiling of vehicles, containers, cargo, etc. at land borders, seaports, and airports are concerned. This is specifically focusing on illegal facilitation of persons, contraband, illicit goods, etc. all those profiled containers, vehicles, cargo that has been profiled needs to be searched in terms of the commitment. That takes us then to the third financial program. Here we have the sub-programs crime investigation. That is the detective service within the SAPS Criminal Record Center, Forensic Science and Specialized Investigations. That in essence is the DPCI. That's in terms of the description of the four financial sub-programs. The allocation for crime investigation, 13.3 billion. The Criminal Record Center, 2.6 billion. Forensic Science 1.4 and Specialized Investigations just over 2 billion. Now the crime investigation portion includes the crime detection, detective service worth 10.7 billion. It also includes some specialized capabilities, the vehicle theft units 535 million, stock theft 617 million, family violence and child protection units, 1.1 billion. This is the portion that General Dampani, the CFO, specifically referred to. And then there's also continued focus on the forensic services, as General Dampani explained, in terms of the reprioritization that happened in the previous financial year. And as far as the DPCI is concerned, there's significant resourcing of the DPCI over the MTFF. And effective from the 2016-2017, as the National Treasury has earmarked a specific allocation for this specific purpose as far as the DPCI is concerned. Our first focus area is reducing levels of contact crime, where we are focusing on our detection rate for contact crime, targeting it to increase it to 55.77%. Increase our detection rate for contact crime at the 30 high crime weight stations as a sub-indicator under that, where we are targeting a 40% detection rate. And we are also targeting the down management of outstanding cases that relates to contact crime, and we are down managed, we are targeting a 14.97% down manage of those outstanding cases that are older than 3 years. Then the down management of wanted persons, outstanding wanted persons that has already been circulated at the high crime weight stations. We are targeting 10.25% in the current 21-22 financial year. Reducing levels against, reduce levels of violence against women. Our detection rate for crimes, contact crime against women, we are targeting a detection rate of 75.25%. Actually, as you will note, again, this is linked to the GBV National Strategic Plan, and the same applies for the detection rate for children below 18 years, where we are targeting a detection rate of 70.15%. As far as drug syndicates is concerned, that relates directly to the implementation of the Narcotics Intervention Strategy and Drug Master Plan. The percentage of identified drug syndicates neutralized with arrest, that is also dependent on the number that will be identified in year. We are targeting 60% to be neutralized with arrest. The increase in the number of arrests for dealing in illicit drugs, we are targeting a 5% increase. And then the reduction of organized criminal groups and gangs, a percentage of identified organized criminal groups neutralized with arrest, we are targeting 60%. This relates specifically to the activities within the organized crime capability within detective service. There are specific indicators that talks to the responsibilities of DPCI that I will deal with separately. The DNA database, the taking of buccal samples of the Schedule 8 offenders, we are targeting 70% increase in that compliance levels, where we indicate that 70% of those arrested Schedule 8 offenders, buccal samples need to be taken. Then, Chair, as far as the utilization of forensic investigative leads are concerned, we are targeting in respect of all of these down management of the outstanding leads. The person to crime DNA investigative leads that are outstanding, we are targeting a 17% reduction. Outstanding crime-to-crime DNA investigative leads, a 5.8% reduction. Outstanding fingerprint investigative leads, a 6.7% reduction. And the outstanding integrated ballistic identification or IBIS system investigative leads, down managing that with 13.3%. Then the indicators that relate specifically to the DPCI environment, the first area is the serious corruption in the public and private sectors. They are targeting a trial ready case docket rate for corruption in the public sector of 65%, also 65% for serious corruption within the private sector and serious corruption within the JCPS cluster. All three of those, there's a 65% trial ready rate as far as those specific corruption categories are concerned. Serious organized crime effectively investigated, percentage of registered serious organized crime projects successfully closed, 72%, and then the closure of identified clandestine laboratories dismantled with arrest. We are targeting 90% of those to be dismantled with arrest. That is also linked to the MTS of government. Then the percentage trial ready for serious commercial crime, a trial ready rate of 65%, as well as the percentage of serious cyber-related crime support files successfully investigated within 90 days, we are targeting 65%. Then, Chair, we are moving to the activities of the criminal record and forensic science. The result of trial updates on guilty verdicts, 95% to be processed within 20 calendar days. Not guilty verdicts to be processed 95% within 20 calendar days, and the generation of previous conviction reports 95% within 15 calendar days. The forensic science, as far as routine case exhibits, that refers to single pieces of evidence that has been received, 75% to be processed within 35 calendar days. Non-routine, that refers to instances where we receive bulk number of pieces of evidence, 70% within 113 calendar days. And in the backlog, we are targeting should not exceed 10% relative to the current workload associated at that point in time. Ballistic intelligence, IBIS case exhibits, 95% of those to be processed within 35 calendar days. And DNA intelligence case exhibits, 80% to be processed within 90 calendar days. Moving to the crime intelligence environment, the total budget allocation amounts to 4.1 billion, of which 1.6 billion is allocated to crime intelligence operations and 2.4 billion to intelligence information management. And in this program, compensation remains the largest portion of the expenditure. And the operational costs are primarily fuel, fleet maintenance, travel and subsistence. And it's just important to note, Chair, that the Secret Service account is not part of Vote 28 of police. In the crime intelligence environment, the first area talks to network operations to conduct, conducted to infiltrate, penetrate criminal groupings, etc. The percentage of network operations successfully terminated, there we are targeting 60.85% of those planned operations. And then we have six indicators, Honorable Chair, that talks to the utilization of intelligence products. The first three indicators relates to intelligence reports that have been generated for proactive purposes. So these are proactive intelligence reports to be operationalized, 70% to be operationalized at district level, 80% provincial level, and 90% were operationalized at national level. The next three indicators talks to the utilization of reactive intelligence products, and very similar to the previous one, but this is more relating to the investigation processes. We are targeting a 70% utilization at district level, 80% at provincial level, and 90% operationalization at national level. Security clearances, that relates to our security risk and vetting assessment within SAPS. 50% of the vetting assessments to be done annually in terms of the target that has been set, that amounts to 577. 50% of our ICT security assessments, that amounts to 1,185 to be done out of the 2,370. And then our overt mandatory physical security assessment, there's a total of 156 that needs to be conducted, and 100% must be concluded. The last set talks to the cooperation with other law enforcement agencies, international law enforcement agencies, with specific reference to a request that we received from Interpol. Now, as far as cross-border operations are concerned, we are targeting 100% of those requests will be responded to. And as far as the arrest of identified transnational crime suspects are concerned, we are targeting 100% of those requests from Interpol to be attended to. Honorable Chair, the last program is Protection and Security Services portion. Now, the sub-programs that we have here includes VIP protection services with a 1.7 billion allocation, static protection 1.1 billion, the government security regulator 89 million, and operational support 270 million. Now, the VIP protection services that provides protection for the president, deputy president, former president, their spouses, and other identified dignitaries while in transit. And the static and mobile security provides for the protection of other local and foreign dignitaries and the places in which these dignitaries, including persons related to them, the president and the deputy president, are present. And then compensation is a prominent element within this specific program, and also travel and subsistence costs that is also prominent. Now, in terms of the provision of static in-transit and static protection is concerned, Honorable Chair will note that we basically have two elements that we are monitoring. First is the protection and security services, that the overall, and then we're also looking at the presidential protection portion. Now, as far as protection and security services are concerned, we are targeting zero security breaches during in-transit protection. We are also targeting zero security breaches at identified government installations and VIP residences. In terms of that responsibility, there's a total of 122 strategic installations that need to be audited. That is part of the physical security at identified government buildings and strategic installations. There's also a total of 209 national key points to be evaluated. As far as presidential protection is concerned, the same principle apply in terms of in-transit and static protection is concerned, zero security breaches during physical protection and zero security breaches targeted at identified government installations. In that regard, as far as presidential protection is concerned, there are 10 national key points to be evaluated in the upcoming in the current financial year. Honorable Chair, that concludes the presentation. We went through it quite fast, but in the interest of time, but I believe we have addressed the needs of the committee. May I hand back to you? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, thank you very much for the presentation. I note that the Deputy Minister has joined us. Welcome, Deputy Minister, to this meeting. We were told that you were caught up in a cabinet committee meeting, which I understand is still not over. But thank you very much for joining us. Deputy Minister, in your absence, we have then requested that the Commissioner, the National Commissioner, and the team take us through the presentation. So perhaps if there's anything that you would like to say before members engage the presentation, let me allow you to say a few things if you wish, Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister. Gershon, can we just verify the connection by the Deputy Minister?
Will do, Chair.
Okay.
You will conclude.
Oh, okay. National Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just maybe a few additions to the the presentation. The first thing, just in order to try and respond to the budget cut, we have undertaken the exercise of the migration of resources, which is moving certain resources from the macro function to production level. And then that particular process has resulted in a distribution and a redistribution of resources. And then we've also formally introduced the reorganization and restructuring within the organization. But then again, we needed to sustain visibility so that we do not necessarily run short of visibility coverage since the compensation budget cut. We have decided to invest a little bit more in technology, where we introduce the safer city. It also goes with the drone policing in certain specific areas. Then we've also then decided to focus on the force multiplier, where we introduce a reservist personnel plan, and we've identified new numbers of reservists that we wanted to employ in order to augment the current force levels. We introduce the tourism reserve police force, the royal reserve, and as well as the agricultural friendly reserves. So these are just the addition as a way of responding to the budget cut instead of complaining. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. Deputy Minister?
No, good morning, Chair. Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Minister, National Commissioner, and the management, members of the committee. I think that we should allow for comments. I don't have any matter to say except to apologize. I had a problem of network. Connectivity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. But then let me also then take this opportunity to thank the National Commissioner as well as Major General Ravi and Lieutenant General Dimpani for that elaborate presentation. I should also thank you for including a lot of the issues that we requested that you include in the presentation. I'm going to request members to give me an indication as to the questions that they would like to ask. If you could please perhaps raise your hands if questions as well as any observations that you would want to make. I see the hands of Honourable Chetwa and Honourable Fitzer. Is there any other member who would want to make a contribution? Okay, let me start with Honourable Mthethwa.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Let me first welcome the report. It's a good report. It really assisted us. It's a detailed report. May I then, Chair, ask the CFO, in terms of program, I think it's program one, the issue there is around visibility policy. I understand that there is a cut on the visibility. It has been declined. And then to me, it says that how are they dealing with the number that was there before, if there is a decrease in terms of the visibility of police? The second issue, Chair, I can see also in terms of the compensation, it's more than 70%. How do you correlate the two, that the visibility policing has been decreased, but in terms of compensation is still up to that high of 70%. May I be clarified there? Let's be understood there. The last thing, Chair, is the issue of the amnesty. Amnesty, there is a budget there, which is almost 6 million or so. What is it in terms of the amnesty that incur so much budget on the firearm amnesty? Because I believe the onus is in those that are bringing in the firearms. Maybe let me be also clarified on that one, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. To Honourable Fisher.
Honourable Chair, in terms of a budget, one wants to see the implementation of that and experience that there's an improvement. But at this stage, if I look at the implementation of the rural safety plan, if I see that police stations, and I encounter this, are under-resourced, understaffed, and then some of the, if you go into there and ask why can they not go out to certain cases or whatever that happened, criminal cases in the area, they say that their personnel in offices, some units are understaffed with more than 44% of their members because of stress-related issues for more than 3 years. I also want to know that police stations that are in especially in Northwest, we've got the Momotla SAP station in Kagisano Moloach in near Moretele. That is still not operational. It's built. But there are several others also, I just couldn't get their names now, that stands empty, it's built, and there's no police station. They were once cut off from Gauteng, now falling into Northwest. They're still dysfunctional. But what troubles me the most is the amnesty of firearms, like colleague Mthethwa said just now, Honourable Mthethwa said just now. I want to know, there's a backlog of firearm licenses. Some for more. I got people that sent in that got more than 300 days that they're waiting now for renewal of their firearm licenses. Then what concerns me most is last week an investigative unit published findings on the Daily Maverick regarding SAP's systemic reluctance to discipline officers implicated in unlawful killings and other violent crimes, even when I could recommend that these officers should be disciplined. The consequence is that problem officers are left unchecked to become repeated offenders, and according to this report, and their crimes escalate in severity. Why has SAP then not responded to the findings? What is SAP's position in findings that it is failing to discipline officers, and why does SAP convert so few brutality allegations into disciplinary convictions? Why are sanctions often so low for apparently very serious transgressions? Members of the public of the Republic of South Africa needs to know that we are in safe hands with SAP, but we don't experience that. On routely, ground route levels, we get SAPS officers involved in narcotics, in smuggling narcotics, involved in stock theft and planning of that is now like becoming cartels in the countryside. And we do not see that there is any improvement. If you phone, they do not have staff or they do not have vehicles. Can the Commissioner just please come back to us regarding that? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Sister. Honourable Dudu.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I have a problem with my gadget because I'm traveling, and I sincerely apologize that I'm not going to use my video, but I'll be as brief as possible. Firstly, let us welcome the presentation. It's always refreshing to hear what the strategic plan of the department is. the annual performance plan, its intentions for the year, in terms of how they want to achieve the targets that they have set in the context of ensuring that we have improved policy in the country. I think this is quite good listening to this lot of information about the police intentions in this respect. I have a number of issues that I want to raise, Honorable Chair. I'm from the Northwest. In the Northwest, I'm in Klerksdorp in Matosana, and I'm aware that some 3 weeks ago, the Deputy Minister visited the area on the basis of attending to the challenges of gangsterism, which has taken its toll. And my problem with this is that these gangsters, they call themselves funny names, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, Vietnam, all of those, all of these. They have literally hijacked the city. They act with impunity. The allegations are abound that they connive with the officials of the municipality. They loot shops, they hold everybody at ransom. And in the last few months, this has literally gone up. And for me, this is worrisome, especially when allegations are there that some of them are colluding with the police. And the police are doing little in terms of attending to this particular matter. And when the matter was presented here, I carefully depicted this matter to hear in precision on how the police are going to deal with gangsterism, especially in these highlighted areas, including in Matosana. And I'm not where I sit, I'm not convinced that with the measures that are in place, they will ensure that at the end of the day, they deal with what we see with rampant takeover of the city and dictating and threatening all the time the lives of the people. Some of them in the last month, they got killed, they killed one another, they burned houses, they burned their cars, and the situation is quite unacceptable. And I would really, really implore on the police to give this matter that I'm raising a specific consideration. My view, and this is my analysis, how gangsterism in the early 90s got perpetuated and therefore escalated in the Western Cape. It is because we didn't go to the root cause of this and immediately and decisively deal with this scourge. And now it is a matter that troubles the country all the time. We hear stories about what is happening in relation to gangsterism, especially in the Western Cape. And now it is obtained here in the Northwest and in the city of Matosana. And with what I see on the table, for me, it doesn't inspire confidence. I don't get a comfort and satisfaction that this is going to be dealt with. I want the police to respond to this, especially the provincial commissioner, to take this particular matter in the serious light that it is at this stage. The perpetrators are well known. Even how they collude, allegations on how they collude and then connive with the officials and politicians in the municipality of Matosana, this is well known, and these are the matters that they need to be investigated, they need to be followed up, they need to be dealt with, and as I'm indicating, I don't get that comfort and satisfaction that this particular matter is getting the necessary attention it is deserving, because it is deteriorating, it is actually devastating to the communities. The second point, Honorable Chair, I act like a real member of parliament in the NCOP talking about matters of my province. And I know that this particular matter that I'm raising was deliberated upon and traversed in other forums that I know. But the fact of the matter is, the national government invokes Section 100 of the Constitution by placing the province under administration. And at a time when this happened, there were serious allegations on that border on corruption, allegations on theft, on mismanagement, on pillaging of the state resources. And this is a very serious matter. We have interacted with the Hawks and all other law enforcement agencies in the Northwest and at national level in respect of this particular matter. But my concern is as follows. My concern is that I see a snail pace, very, very slow, in genuinely dealing with this particular matter. 3 years down the line, the information that is on the table in respect of how these matters are dealt with or attended to don't inspire confidence at all. And my take is that there is some, and I'm saying this with circumspection, there is some collusion between the police and the perpetrators of all of this. I'm saying this because over the years in the Northwest, we complained about what was called the rogue unit. The rogue unit, which was headed by the head of the Hawks, the ex-head of the Hawks in the Northwest, and then a retired one. And out of that, most of them and that unit, most of the members are facing serious criminal acts of murder, of extortion and everything. And everything that is very, very bad. And then for me, it doesn't inspire confidence when it is the police, especially at the highest level, who are implicated in all of these sorts of things. And my view is that when all these allegations are coming again to say, what is the reason why these particular cases are not moving in the way that they must move? And it would seem that the police are motivated by something else. Even outside this meeting, I'm ready to provide that kind of information. It doesn't really, really augur well and inspire confidence because it is in the best interest of the people of the Northwest that there is stability in terms of their government and that allegations of fraud and corruption are dealt with expeditiously and the police are taking cognizance of this to an extent of even if it is possible, putting up a specialized team to deal with all these particular allegations so that there is order and stability in the Northwest. And for me, this is quite important. Other than that, Chairperson, I wish the police that they do their work quite competently. I've listened carefully to what they have said in relation to their annual performance plan. And I think as this committee, our job is to monitor them, is to oversee their actions, is to ask them questions and to monitor the police insofar as ensuring that they implement what they have presented to us and hold them accountable for that. And I'm sure we could as a committee develop a way in which we will hold them accountable, we will monitor them, we will monitor progress in terms of what they do. But the two sticky issues that I raised, I sincerely implore on the police to go and attend to them because these are important matters that needs to be given the necessary attention. With that, thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Debilbo. Honorable Mukosi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me join my colleagues by welcoming the informative presentation made before the committee. Chair, I've got a few questions that I want to ask. Some of them are covered by Honorable Mteta and Honorable Fessa, but I will speak to the others that are not raised. One, Chair, on slide 31, the economic crimes. The president noted that the government has set up task teams in a number of provinces to deal with and violence on site of economic activity. What is the role of SAPS in the task teams to combat economic crimes, and what efforts has SAPS made to address economic crimes? The other question that I would like to ask is with regards to the border safety that is indicated on slide 32. The president indicated that government is fast-tracking the implementation and capacitation of the border management agency to cap illegal immigration and cross-border crime. Given the huge role that SAPS plays in the PMA, what is the interplay between the PMA and the existing SAPS capacity in the border safeguarding divisions? Oh, this one, it's raised the insufficient capacity with regards to the registry of the firearms. I will not ask that one. I will move to the other one. Slide 36 refers to the number of new police stations established. Please give the committee an indication of which provinces these new police stations will be established in and in the process that will be undertaken to build these police stations. What informs the target of three police stations for 2021 and to 2022, Chair? My last question will be the one that was raised on slide 39, refers to the implementation of IP recommendations. What measures are currently in place to ensure compliance with the recommendations, and what current challenges exist which may affect the current target, Chair? Or the last one, National Commissioner. On slide 40 and 41, irregular expenditure. Will the department be able to reduce the number of incidents of irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure by 2024 and 2025? What specific measures will be implemented in order to make sure that such reductions are realized? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkosi. Honorable Motsamai.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to welcome the information of the police. Chairperson, I have a very, very, very serious problem with the police. There is a GBV within the police, within the senior police officials. We have, I just want to, Major General Rabi to explain me in full. We have the police reservists. Some of these police reservists, they work there for more than 15 years and they are not being paid. They are only being called. I support what Chairperson Duduva has said on the issue of the corruption. Maybe we don't know whether this thing is done by the police or whatever. I don't really know that. These reservists are the police who are wearing uniform, police uniform, carrying the gun, police, driving the police cars, but they are not being paid. They are being paid with call up. Some of these police, they've been there for more than 15 years. Mkutisambutuku is this thing of ladies who are being removed from the police because of BMI. BMI is where they are going to be tested, or they are still fit, or what happened to them. That is a very big problem to me. And some of these police officers, these reservists, because they want a lot of money, they talk about money. When you look on these police reservists, they are driving cars. Sometimes you don't even see it's a police car because it lets them light day one during the night. This car, you can think it's a motorbike. Can this a car is a police car? Then I ask myself, one of these police officers, can he be direct or indirect in crime? Because when I registered for 15 years, I didn't reserve as a holy. Afwana when he's being called, and when November is January, incorporate general and Rabbi and City Shemu. And what I want to appeal or request you, Chairperson, I want him as go for oversight visit, especially in the police station like the Hamas Crown police station. Some of these cars, the Hamas Crown police station, especially this Polo Vivo police cars, it can move from Hamas Crown straight to Johannesburg. There's a lot of corruption within the police. So can you put out why they don't mention this? Why they don't just tell us that there's a problem? We have reservists. The reservist, they have to do something today. He cannot be buried. The problem, because he is not a full police official. I have about thousands of names and false numbers of these police officers to come up with a general anti-discipline. I thank you. Sure.
Thank you, Honorable Matsumai. Honorable Nita.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me thank the presenters for the well-articulated presentation, Chair. Excuse me for that. Chairperson, I would like to ask a few questions. First, appreciate the fact that they have budgeted 1.2 billion for the gender-based violence. I hope it will make a difference because it's a challenge that we're facing across the country. That one is really appreciated. And Chair, I also noticed that they have budgeted for the rural police station. You know, Chair, I'm from the Eastern Cape. I'll talk about the Eastern Cape also myself today. I would like to know what is the plan from them in terms of, I understand that they said there are budget cuts, but there are serious challenges of stock theft, especially in the area of Port St. John's, in the borders of Lesotho, where stock is being stolen by those that are across the border. So it challenges Eastern Cape. We no longer even having a helicopter, yet the terrain we know that is mountainous. It's very difficult to deal with the crime that is happening in those areas. Are there plans to help provinces like Eastern Cape that are facing such challenges in terms of the budget that we're looking at today? And the second one, Chair, is on the issue of, I don't know how are they going to deal with this one. I've got one example at BT. It's a high contact crime where there were members, assumed members of police who knocked in one old man's house and ask for a tavern wearing police officer's uniform, full attire. And then those people who accompanied them to the tavern that they were asking for, they were all killed, including the traditional leader that was part of that. How do you deal with these high contact crimes, especially in rural areas? Because again, the big area is a rural area. My focus is more on that one, Chair, that they must just tell us in terms of ensuring that rural communities are safe, especially that there are few police stations sometimes which do not have even vehicles to come to areas where crimes are committed. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much,
Chairperson, you're on mute.
She is on mute. I'm listening. I can't hear anything.
Sorry about that, but thank you, Honorable Monica, and thank you, Honorable Members, for all of those questions. I do have some from my side as well. And my questions, actually, the first few relate to our previous engagement that we had with the department last year. I think the one is around a lot of issues have been raised around the compensation of employees, but last year we were informed as a committee that the department is embarking on a personnel endeavor to address staffing challenges by implementing a strategy to recruit those from school clerks internally and reservists who are given an opportunity to reapply. But if you can maybe just provide us with an update in terms of the strategy. My next question relates to the community policing forums. And given the fact that they play a critical role in communities and often people work in these CCF on a voluntary basis. At the time, we wanted to know how the minister would integrate the CCF into the budget. And I think that question still stands. And the National Commissioner at that meeting had also committed to escalate this to the Civilian Secretariat for Police Services in order for SAC and the CSP to deal with the matter collectively. But perhaps if you could be informed in terms of what has been done with the CSP to remedy the situation in respect of the CPS structure. I think on the issue of vehicles, many members have already raised this, but this has been an issue that has come up consistently, and many provinces are having challenges around this. But also, if you could give us an indication in terms of what you're doing in order to ensure that all police stations have operational vehicles. And with regard to the DPCI, the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, I think the last time when we engaged with you, we were insisted in terms of the progress that was made with the specialized units dealing with cyber crimes and narcotics. And the DPCI responded that the capacitation of units in respect of firearms, narcotics, and cybercrime is limited. And there was an intention to recruit more people, and that had begun, but the process was delayed due to COVID-19. But given that the organized crime, and members have also been raising in terms of their questions, is such a big issue, can we also get an update on how this is being addressed by DPCI and whether all the necessary capacity has been found and what challenges still exist? I think in terms of the presentation, with regard to the budget for the DPCI, I understand that the budget, in terms of your presentation, is that the budget for the DPCI is ring-fenced. But our engagement with you has also been around your engagement with National Treasury to establish the DPCI as a separate budget program of SAC. And maybe you could just give us an indication of what is the current capacity of the DPCI, including infrastructure, equipment, personnel, as well as what progress is being made to ensure that the budget of the DPCI is a separate budget program. I think with regard to the criminal records in the forensic science laboratory program, what are your current challenges that you're experiencing with the backlog in DNA testing, and what is being done practically to address this backlog? I just want to point out that in your slide that deals with the breakdown of the 2021-22 budget allocation to provinces, that after the first quarter that you will provide us with information when the apportioning of the budget had been concluded by the provinces in the first quarter. I don't want us to lose sight of the fact, but to raise it so that we get that information after the first quarter. And I think with regard to the GBVF and the FDS units, members have raised this issue. But I think that given the additional budget allocation, as well as the 100 million, which has been allocated to provinces for the prioritization of the GBV response and the strengthening of the FDS units, I think perhaps, Deputy Minister, on this one, notwithstanding the questions members have asked that need a response, I think if we can also get a detailed report as well as the plan for the department in terms of GBVF and the strengthening of the FDS units. I think with that, let me stop there. And hand over then to you, Deputy Minister and National Commissioner.
Sorry, Chair, I forgot one.
Honourable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to talk on irregular expenditure, please. I would like to know from the department what are the practical steps that they are taking in terms of curbing the irregular expenditure. And if there are any, steps that they have taken in terms of ensuring those that are implicated in such kind of acts, they are really subjected to disciplinary hearing or what? Because I know sometimes it's not that they have eaten the money, stolen the money, but it's not really keeping the records. And whoever is responsible for that is supposed to account. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Deputy Minister, if I can hand over to yourself and National Commissioner.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to members for the questions that have been raised. I will request that the Commissioner lead with the responses, and then I'll make my comments at the end. Thanks. Over to you, National Commissioner, if you allow together with the team.
Please go ahead, Deputy Minister and National Commissioner.
Yes, General
Stoller. Thank you very much, DM, and also thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the permission. I also want to express our appreciation to the Honorable Members for the questions, which I think also assist us to improve on certain aspects. Chair, I'm going to take the questions that require strategic responses and the operatives with the permission of the chair, they will then take all the other questions, which include technical and operational questions. The first question, Chair, I wanted to start with is the question of the over 70% of the compensation budget. I think I would just relate to strategic direction given. That percentage is currently at 78%, which is not supposed to be there. And our first direction has been that we scale it down to where it should belong through a stabilization process. Hence, the restructuring, which includes the migration of resources. But how we are managing to scale down the figure while people are there, we are scaling down the figure of senior managers. Like, for instance, there's a number of lieutenant generals that were freed after we've disposed of their functions. The example of that is that one of our environments has been the deputy function for management intervention, there have been several lieutenant generals in that environment, and then we freeze the function, and all those posts there, they were not replaced, they were freezed. Then their budget has been utilized for recruitment of new employees at lower level, and then so that they be taken down to the police station. So we're working on bringing the figure down, but we are not necessarily scaling down the people at production level. Rather, we are scaling down the size of the macro function. Then again, there's a question of the resourcing of police stations. We've established formally the Integrated Resource Committee, and there's a team of senior managers who constitute the Integrated Resource Committee. They are given the assignment, firstly, to drive the migration of resources to police stations, but then secondly, to ensure that there's correct formula for distribution and redistribution of resources, which include rural police stations. So the capacitation of rural police stations is the priority within the integrated resource strategy under rural safety. And we've also then made sure that we allocate sufficient resources, including the budget for rural safety, so that it is made to be operational. Then the stations that are not operational, there's a number of police stations which have been so identified and prioritized. I think at the present moment, I think they're over six. We know that three of these six is in the Northwest. And the challenges with regard to these stations, they were legal because the suppliers failed to complete the relevant work, and there were court processes which followed. But those stations are now prioritized. They are on the top of the supply chain agenda, and they are being monitored at national level. I'm sure more information on this would be shared by the Divisional Commissioner for Supply Chain. But these stations are prioritized, and they will be operational soon. Then there was a question on the IP recommendations vis-a-vis the functions that are being given. The Divisional Commissioner for Human Resources will relate more on the IP matters, the cooperation between us and IP, including the monitoring systems that we've put in there. But just on the sanctions, I would like to indicate to the committee that we've also formalized a conduct committee within the organization. This committee is specifically looking at the outcomes of the disciplinary processes, including the status of suspensions and other matters. If the outcome of any disciplinary matter is not satisfactory, especially the sanction that has been given is not satisfactory, we then take that disciplinary process on review. There's several reviews that I've signed based on certain sanctions. So that is the process that which is in place at this particular level. Should a sanction appear not to be consistent with the misconduct. Then the members of SAPS involved in crime, I think we formally introduced the cleanup campaign. We've got several numbers, I think it's over 50 SAPS members arrested. And these members, they include junior and senior officers. And there's several that has been taken through the disciplinary code, and some of them has been dismissed. So all I want to put forth on record is the fact that we do not tolerate any contamination within the organization at the present moment. And we drive that particular plan to make sure that we eradicate those that are corrupt. While at the same time, we also put measures to motivate those who are doing good job and serve the communities. Then the stations that do not have vehicles, and some of them, they travel 500 meters, stop and put water in the vehicles. Firstly, I just want to say to the committee that for the financial year that closed recently, we ordered a total of 4,299 new vehicles and delivered is 4,291. All the 4,291 were for distribution. And the Integrated Resource Committee is the one that dealt with this particular distribution. Then the challenge that we have admitted to have has been the challenge with the garages, because more of these vehicles are spending time at the garages, and then we decided to instruct the garage turnaround plan, which is currently driven by the Divisional Commissioner for Supply Chain and overseen by the Deputy National Commissioner for Corporate Support Services. We are looking at various ways of changing the ratio of vehicles that should be operational or available in the field versus the vehicles that should be at the garages. Then there's the truck stop matter. I think the truck stop matter at the present moment, I'm just going to give a directive to say, I think the Provincial Commissioner of Northwest is going to give a clear, practical and operational response. But my directive for now at this level is that Lieutenant General Masemula and Lieutenant General Mfazi will intervene to provide support to the Provincial Commissioner so that we stabilize that particular area of truck stop. And currently, it will be declared under stabilization from national side. Then that also includes gangsterism in the area, just to indicate to the committee that we deal with gangsterism in two ways, in terms of the gangsterism combating and prevention strategy. There's a prevention side, which talks to, and combat side, which talks to intervention, and that will be part and parcel of the stabilization. But then there's going to be the unconventional approach, which will be driven through the OCTA, which is the covert that is approach. We'll just make sure, I think Lieutenant General Fazi will make sure that this covert is also fully in place, working together with DPCI. Then there's an honorable member who indicated that he's got information about police who are involved in other matters. I think Lieutenant General Mfazi, together with General Sintumule, I think they will make arrangements just to access the honorable member so that this matter is treated correctly. We would like to share that information so that we act on it as the honorable member has indicated. Then there's a question and concern about reservists. I think visible policing, and Lieutenant General Masemula, maybe together with HR, they will be able to give final details on this. The only thing I can say for now to the committee is that there's an approved policy which governs the employment and deployment of reservists, and they are strictly deployed and paid according to this particular policy. And if there's anywhere in the country or in any province where they are not treated according to this particular policy, then we will see and treat that as a violation, and we will deal with it accordingly. But this policy is currently a national direction, and it applies to all 9 provinces in the country. Then the stock theft problem, we have noted it. I think stock theft is a priority for us, especially amongst the rural communities, because that's their means of economy. I think we will be looking at the resource intervention at that particular level so that we make sure then that we respond in the Eastern Cape. Our response to stock theft, as per the stats that has been released recently, has not been very bad. Where we made some investment, there's been few returns, but this area in the Eastern Cape is going to be declared for stabilization, and we will then provide support to the provincial commissioner there so that we respond. The budget for CPFs, I think, Honorable Chair, from the side of the police, we have designed and operationalized the community policing strategy. I have directed the resourcing of the community policing strategy. Now, with regard to the budget for community policing, yes, SAPS has responded, and the CFO has also been given clear direction to work together with VISPOL to avail this budget. But the SEDA budget, and specifically the budget for the maintenance of the structures, I think that is the part that the civilian secretariat is working on. And I think their report shall be shared, I think, with the committee from the head of the secretariat. I think we are then trying through the garage turnaround plan to make sure that we have sufficient operational vehicles in the streets, and vehicles are not, there's no shortage as we're trying to respond to crime. The directive with regard to us providing a full report and a GBV plan, we accept the direction, and we will prepare this particular report together with the gender-based violent action plan, and shall be forwarded to the committee as per the direction of the chair, I believe. Then steps taken with regard to irregular expenditure. Firstly, we have put in the prevention side or dimension. And in the prevention dimension, we've ordered a total review of the internal control framework and risk management. And the risk management plan of the organization has been aligned to provide a response to curbing irregular expenditure. Then in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, we have invoked both Section 34 and Section 81 to make sure that there's investigations under Section 81 that which are then complemented by the disciplinary code of SAPS. As I'm speaking, there's matters that are investigated through the disciplinary code, several matters. Then there's matters which I have also directed that they should be escalated to Section 81 of the Public Finance Management Act. We have also then appointed the risk officer, and I think we have declared irregular expenditure as a high risk for the organization and a strategic risk for that particular matter. It's now high on the risk register, and there's control measures that has been put there. Chair, with your permission, I can give the opportunity to the Deputy National Commissioners first, and the Divisional Commissioners will then be introduced by the Deputy National Commissioners. If you permit, I can give them the floor. Thank you, Chair.
Please go ahead, National Commission.
Thank you very much. General Vuma, you can take the first floor, and you can also afford the CFO and the other people the opportunity. And then General Fazil for. If General Vuma is not ready, General Fazil, you can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson, the National Commissioner. National Commissioner, we have taken note of the issues that have been raised. In some of the issues, you have responded and they have clarified them. And I think the issue of Klerksdorp, as we have directed, and the intervention on the stock theft in the Eastern Cape, and the issue of the GBV issues, I think those issues are the issues that are actually directed to us. But critically so is the issue of the DNA as to how far have we gone. I think we've been involved. I think the DNC the deputy minister will attest to that we've been involved in different forums, in different levels of discussions, in trying to intervene in the situation of forensic environment and in trying to address the issues of backlog. There's a lot of interventions that were put in place, and we're trying by all means in ensuring that we're actually dealing with the backlog. But I think without any waste of time, NASCOM, I'll allow the Divisional Commissioner responsible for detectives and forensic to actually take us through the intervention as she is directly involved. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, the National Commissioner, the Deputy National Commissioner, and all the colleagues online. As the DNC has alluded, we actually are working on an integrated recovery plan with all the stakeholders internally, which include forensic service, supply chain management, finance, detective services, particularly addressing the issue of your gender-based violence cases, TMS, also on the optimization of the PEM system, having moved from your PCAM to also do our capturing of exhibits on that sub-specific or system. But also externally, we are working with the NPA, dealing with your prioritized cases that also are impacting on the court system. So what we do, we get a list from the NPA of all cases which have been withdrawn based on DNA, outstanding DNA, and then those cases are then put through the system. But further, we actually are working on down management of the backlog through this approach. We have an 18-month project plan that has got different pillars. The first pillar talks to contract management. That would include also your procurement of your consumables, as well as maintenance and calibration of equipment. I must say that we have so far made progress. I think the biggest problem within your PPE area for procurement was the issue of your nitrile gloves, which are basically used by all the labs, including labs that are dealing with your COVID tests as well. So the demand is very high, and therefore the supply has to a certain extent diminished. And therefore we have been able to get that contract secure. And I also learned from the colleagues that we will be getting those gloves in the next 2 weeks. That also will help the analysts to be able to process the DNA. In relation now to the calibration and maintenance of the equipment, we actually, they are missing consumables in relation to your chemistry that we use within your amplification kits. The tender has been out. General Hankins is assisting us in this regard, and it is foreseen that once we get particularly this amplification kit chemistry, the turnaround will even be higher. Maybe we can even conclude the backlog within 18 months. That is the joy we are getting as the police. However, we need to really move with your contract management as well as your procurement. That's basically now where we are focusing our efforts. And as we do so, we still do the manual capturing as well as analysis of DNA based on priority. And currently our capacity in the two labs, which are doing your fully fledged analysis in Pretoria on a daily basis, at least for now, we can do 300, and in Cape Town, we can do 700. So we can at least try and push the backlog from where it stands now at 210. We foresee that maybe in the next 2 months, we can be able to conclude 50% of that backlog. For now, I think the only determining factors will be the factors that relate to contract management as well as your procurement of consumables. DNC, I think I will leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The CFO and General Reid, you can continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. There is one question that is left behind in relation to the decrease, in particular program 2 visible policing. We wanted to indicate, Honorable Chair, that that particular decrease, especially for 21-22, in the main it relates to salary, COE, salary increases that were not being provided for over the MTEF. Also, Honorable Chairperson, in the previous financial year, there was also a provision that was made for this program in relation to additional allocation for COVID-19 responses. So it was allocated for program 2. For 21-22, there's no provision. So those are the reasons that are making visible policing to experience an increase of 7.2 for 21-22 as compared to 2021. But over the MTF, this is as a result of salary increases not being provided for. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. General Reid, you can proceed. If General Reid is traveling, General Mshala, you can proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, the National Commissioner, all protocol observed. National Commissioner, we've taken note of the instruction to intervene and support the Northwest Province. So from our side, we will actually ensure that those together with the crime detection family, that we work closely to ensure that we support the Northwest to ensure that stabilization, and after stabilization, we'll move to the normalization phase of the province. And then on the question of the that was asked about the firearms that are more than 3 years, we are currently through our action plan, prioritizing all firearms that are more than 1 year and above. And our target is to ensure that at least by the end of June, we must have actually finalized them. We are currently having stakeholder meetings with our colleagues internally to ensure that all the dependencies are being addressed to ensure that we fast track the process of finalizing all these long outstanding firearm applications. And then on the issue of priority focus for the rural community, just to add to what the National Commissioner said, is that through our rural national rural safety strategy and our traditional policing concept, we are focusing on the rural communities, and we've taken note of the challenge that has been actually highlighted for Port St. John. We'll ensure that we work closely with the provincial commissioner to ensure that we also provide the necessary support and intervention for that area. And then on the issue of the reservists, just to add to what the national commissioner has said, that there is an approved policy, but I must also indicate that the reservist by its nature, that function is actually when the members of the community apply to be reservist, it's actually a volunteer. It is very clear in the approved policy that they are volunteering their services. Through the intervention of the department, especially from the ministry and the national commissioner, we have actually prioritized in the recent call-up for members to be actually, that has been sent to the police academies for training. We did prioritize also through the instruction of the principals that the reservists also be prioritized. We are on a regular basis having meetings between national and provincial stakeholders to ensure that over and above the monitoring and evaluation that we are actually conducting, to ensure that where there is no adherence to approved policies and directives, that those challenges are, we immediately intervene to ensure that there is always compliance with the approved policy. From time to time, reservists are called up, especially for major events or as directed by the department, to ensure that those that are called up are actually receiving the necessary payment. On the issue of gender, on the issue of amnesty budget for the 6 million, for the 6 million that was actually allocated for amnesty, the expenditure at the end of March 2021, we did spend about 3.420 million. And the, out of that amount, it was utilized for advertising and marketing, and also for the consumables and government printing, and then also as we implement this firearm amnesty, we have dedicated teams that travel in the provinces to promote the issue and to promote and ensure awareness to the communities. The amount of 1.587 million was budgeted to be spent on advertising and marketing, but not fully spent, and was reprioritized to capital expenditure. A shortfall amount of 991 was never utilized and was returned back to the fiscus. When we are currently as a department prioritizing all applications, both at station, district, provincial, and national level. We are having weekly meetings with the provincial commissioners to ensure that where there are challenges that are delaying the finalization of these applications, that those challenges are addressed. That's that from my side, General Commissioner. And let me also convey the apology for Deputy National Commissioner for Policing, General Masemola, who's attending the JCPS Digital Cluster meeting to represent the department. So I'm currently representing him. Thank you very much, National Commissioner and Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We told General Reed is ready. General Reed, can you take the floor? If General Reed is not yet ready, General Zia, can you talk to the IP matters?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Committee. Let me greet also the Deputy Minister, the National Commissioner, all protocol observed. Honorable Chair, there are three issues that I'm going to address as they were raised by Honorable Members. I will start with the first one, of which the National Commissioner has touched on it, that is the IPID recommendation. And I can confirm that the same sentiments that have been shared by the committee, we are also sharing them in terms of the finalization of the cases of IPID. But I must indicate, Chair, that all the cases that have been registered in the IPID register and referred to the South African Police Service, all of them, they do receive attention. And I can also indicate that we do have a good relationship between ourselves, IPID, as well as Civilian Secretariat of Police, at provincial level, as well as at head office level. There are mandatory meetings that are taking place between our offices at provincial level, as well as head office level. And the purpose of these meetings is to share information between the two departments, and also to update each other in terms of, you know, the outcome of those cases. And I can also indicate, Chairperson, that some of the challenges in terms of the finalization of our IPID recommendations, they are emanating from the fact that currently we are using our own personnel or our own members to deal with our own discipline, meaning that this officer will at most prioritize, you know, his work that he's been assessed on and give little attention to the disparate cases. But we are pleased, Chair, to indicate that the National Commissioner has commissioned an investigation, the work study investigation, where organizational development is establishing the possibility of us having a fully fledged unit which will be dealing with most serious cases. Less serious cases, the immediate commanders will still be responsible for those cases. So once those outcomes are out and the approval is being sought from the National Commissioner, we'll see to it that the fully-fledged unit is established. That will go a long way in assisting us in dealing with the cases. Then, yes, there are measures that we have put in place to ensure that we comply, Chair. We are having conduct meetings, as the National Commissioner has indicated, at provincial level as well as at national level. And the conduct committees, they are also looking at all the cases that have been reported, both IPID and other cases that are reported in the organization. We do have an early warning system, which we have developed at head office, where we are always from time to time sensitizing provinces when they are outside the time frames that have been provided for in our regulations. We also have accountability sessions, where we invite the provinces that are actually not achieving in terms of their targets, as well as the divisions to come in account in terms of non-compliance to our disciplinary regulations. That is in as far as IPID recommendations are concerned, Chair. The other question that was raised by the Chair was the issue of the recruitment in Durban. I can confirm, Chair, that yes, we did have a recruitment in Durban. And it was held here at head office. The Minister of Police was there, the Deputy Minister of Police, the National Commissioner, all provincial and divisional commissioners. We also had representatives from other provinces. We invited Public Service Commission, we invited GPSA. We looked at all our requirements and recommendations. Very good recommendations came out of that recruitment in Durban. And those recommendations, they assisted us in terms of strengthening our processes. We reviewed our requirements, we reviewed our processes, and I can also indicate that coming out of that recruitment in Durban, Chairperson, we came out with three streams where we want to recruit from. The first stream is the stream of the graduates, where we are targeting
those graduates who have, you know, done or completed their BTEC in policing, but they're not working for the police, or that are having a law degree. We are also, the second stream is the stream that is looking at the reservists, and the last stream is the stream that is looking at the matriculants, those that will have just passed a matric. And I can confirm that immediately after the recruitment in Davache, we went on an advertisement where we advertised 7,000 posts to recruit for the three different streams. Unfortunately, when we were about to conclude the project, COVID-19 came in and we had to suspend, you know, the whole project. Up until now, the only stream that we could implement, as the Divisional Commissioner of Baseball has indicated, was the stream of the reservists. And we recruited 2,500 plus reservists the 1st of December 2020. They are currently at the college. And I must indicate, Chair, that out of the recruitment in Durban, we did get valuable inputs and our processes have now been strengthened. The last one, Chair, that I need to respond to is the issue of stress-related issues where it was indicated that our members are long on sick leave. I can indicate, Chair, that we do have EHW, Employee Health and Wellness, within Human Resource Management Division. And EHW consists of all the professionals. We've got social workers, psychologists, chaplains, and these are the people that are rendering a proactive and reactive programs to our members. We've got various projects, programs, proactive as well as reactive, where we are trying to assist our members to cope with the environment that they are working under. And I can also indicate that we have appointed the health risk manager. The health risk manager is advising the SAPS in terms of members that are on long sick leave. So we do refer members that are on long sick leave to our health risk manager for health risk manager to give us advice. And some of the advice will be this member should be bothered because the member cannot assist the organization at all. Or some of the recommendations that we are receiving from the health risk manager is to give members an opportunity to recover, to recoup. And after that, they reassess the member and they'll give a final report to say, yes, the member can report or cannot report. And I can also indicate that all provinces, the divisions, we do monitor members that are on long sick leave because they are required to be visited by the EHW practitioners as well as their commanders and to submit reports from time to time. So the administration of members that are on sick leave, Chair, can indicate that we are doing very well here. Though, yes, we still do have members that are on long sick leave, but we are also advised by the health risk manager. I think these are the only three questions that were related to human resource management that were not asked, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Back to you, National Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. General Reed, are you ready?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, National Commissioner. Honorable Chair, I just want to add on to what National Commissioner was referring to in terms of the irregular expenditure, in terms of the framework that he included in terms of the internal control. We have actually embarked on a process of having a roadshow throughout the whole country. We've covered all the provinces in this regard. And we also designed a pocket book, a manual for members to have easy access to the act itself, because this irregular expenditure is more about not adherence to the act of regulation that is being put in place. Now, Chairperson, the National Commissioner, when he also was appointed, he came out with a thinning campaign also, whereupon we've also rendered the services of an audit company, Deloitte & Touche, to also assess us in terms of whether we adhere to protocols in terms of procurement. I can just indicate also, Chairperson, the same process where the National Commission had a cleanup campaign, we've also arrested members it was published in the media who actually flouted processes. And can I also indicate that 7 members were also dismissed during such process for a flouting process in procurement. Chairperson, with regard to vehicles that the National Commissioner also alluded to of the how many we procured, I can just indicate that for this current financial year, the South African Police Service has ring fenced 1.5 billion for the procurement of vehicles. So we will have additional vehicles for this financial year with an estimated number of 3,500. Chairperson, now the stations that the National Commission was also referring to, I can just indicate, because you indicated that I must mention the station's names. In Northwest is 2, and 1 is in Northern Cape. In Northwest is Mokovuma and Mabiskral and Rimfastmark is in Northern Cape, where we will eventually put our whole focus to complete this particular police station. I can just indicate that, Chairperson, we near to completion with regard to these three police stations. Chairperson, with regard to the turnaround strategy that NASCOM alluded to in terms of our garage management, Chairperson, because of the issue that was surrounding supply chain management that we struggled before, the NASCOM also put measures in place, like, for example, contract management strategy. And because of this particular strategy, we will we partnered now with West Bank and FNB, where we will set up vendors in different provinces, especially at our main garages, with special focus to the youth economic development as well as the women, where we will actually ensure that we expand our repairs and also our service of vehicles to these particular vendors. So the turnaround strategy as National Commissioner made it is targeted to have 90% of the vehicles in operation. We will definitely achieve it this particular financial year. Chairperson, I think I've covered some of the issues. National Commission, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, we'll just take comments from the two provinces which were affected in the questions. I think Northwest, the PC, and then Eastern Cape, and then the national head of the Hawks will then close and will be done. And let me check the General Njinga, are you connected? Can you talk to the Eastern Cape?
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. A very good afternoon to the Chairperson, honorable members, to the DM, National Commissioner.
Commissioner?
Okay, General Njinga seemed to have muted herself accidentally. We apologize. General Kwena, can you proceed in the meantime?
Thank you, General. It just muted itself.
All right, proceed.
I've said, General, I've taken note of the issue of BG and the rural areas, deep rural areas policing. Actually, General, we have already put a special deployment in BG area. There's a camping of POPs in that area. These issues, General, are happening at night. As I said before, that the rural, deep rural policing is different from the urban policing at night, because we've got a deployment at night, but they can see the vents while they are coming from far. So they are able to evade the patrols. So what we need now to have in policing in those rural areas, we need a drone policing that will be able to assist us, because we want to put the members on foot patrol at night to get into those deep areas where there are no roads for the vehicles to patrol, because our horses cannot also patrol at night. They are only patrolling during the day. Even in the same area where there were three murders, our horses were there during the day patrolling. But at night, we cannot use any dogs or horses. We need the foot patrols. And it's also difficult because it's too dark. There's no light. Our members are only using the flashlights, only there. But if we can get the drones to police those areas, I think we'll be able to address the issues of deep rural areas. Stock theft, I think we're doing very, very well in those hotspot areas, including BG. Because we have, since we deployed, we have recovered a lot of stock that was supposed to be stolen. And the areas of Kumbu, the stock theft is down. That is the thing that we need additionally into our deployment, General, is the issue of the equipment, the drone policing. Then if we can have that one, I think we'll be able to win. But for now, we have deployed in all those hotspots, Kumbu, the TRT, and Lusikisiki. Also, we are going to have a special deployment.
Commissioner?
Thank you so much, General. I'm done.
Okay, there's a bit that missed out. I don't know if it's just myself or...
all of us, Chair.
Provincial, you just comment on your last question because they missed it. Sorry, Chair.
Thank you, DM. My last question, I was saying, DM, on the issue of stock theft in those deep rural areas, the hotspots of Kumbu and also in that areas of Biggie, we managed to bring down the stock theft because we have recovered the stock while they were being in the process of being stolen, because there's a lot of deployment there. Our members are there at night. And also we're going to move in the area of Lusikisiki, where there's a problem of a DV and rape cases. We are going to start next week with our awareness campaign, the door-to-door campaign, where we are going to have the imbizos for men only, because they are the perpetrators of the domestic violence. So from next week, we'll be flooding Lusikisiki, Biggie. There's already a deployment there, and also Kumbu and other areas there. We have a 6 month deployment that is doing very good in those areas. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Major General Molipe will just comment for Northwest.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner of Senior Managers, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to respond to the issue raised by Honorable Motsamai of gangsterism in the Northwest, the city of Matosana, commonly known as Bloodstock. The incidents that have been happening, they've been taking place in Joburg, and yes, I can attest that there are gangs called Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda. That as a province, we have given attention and have arrested some of the gang members for murder, arson, and other related crimes. I can surely say that the gang members from Al-Qaeda, we have arrested 7, and from Boko Haram, we arrested 15. The total number bring us to 22. 19 of the gang members were released on bail, and 3 has since been denied bail, and they are charged with murder. I would also like to indicate that we have also arrested one of our own, a sergeant from one of the stations, and the member has since been dismissed from the service during the month of April. Reporting on the next court date on the 3 cases, I'd like to mention that 2 cases will be appearing on the same date, which is the 24th of May next week. And the 3rd case, it is appearing on the 31st of May. And I would like to say also, we as a province, we welcome the support that is given by the National Commissioner. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Our last response will be from the National Head of Hawks. Lieutenant General Abia, can you take the floor?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, the National Commissioner and Senior Officers. I'm accompanied by the Deputy National Head of the Hawks, Lieutenant General Musigile. I will deal with the questions that have been directed to the Hawks. I must also indicate that I was also part of the JCPS Minister's meeting. I had to leave for a few minutes from this side to join that one, and then I'm back. Honorable Members, and the Chairperson, the first question that I want to deal with is the issue of the capacitation of the DPCI. also talking to the cybercrime that also include the narcotics environment. We need to be indicating that the process of recruitment to capacitate the DPCI has started in earnest, even under the challenging circumstances of COVID. We have started the process, and as we speak now, there is a project that we are busy shortlisting, interviewing those who applied. That is, we paid project 274. That is, we are recruiting 274 to fill certain positions that were advertised. And then when we finish this particular process, we will also be going to another project that we call Project 55. In this one, we will be re-advertising 55 posts that were withdrawn after we have advertised and seeking the specialist in cybercrime investigation. So we were looking for personnel who have got the qualifications that can be employed to come and capacitate the cyber environment. So based on the requirements, we found limited number. We have appointed those that we found, but there were 55 posts that were withdrawn. So as soon as we finish with the 274, we will be going into the projects that deal with the 55. So that specifically talks to cyber environment. When we leave that one, we will also be going into another project that we will be advertising 197 posts. That is the project 197. And then when we finalize that parallel, so that will also be filling the four senior management posts that have become vacant. In addition to these processes that we are doing to capacitate the DPCI as a whole, which include cyber environment as well as the narcotics environment, we also recruited 102 contract workers. We were looking for 200, but we couldn't find the others. Others have to withdraw because of certain questions that they were identified during the sifting and selection process. But we have got 102 that are with us. So they started on the 1st of April. This will be assisting us in various environments, especially targeting on the TRC cases that were behind. So that speaks to the recruitment. We admit that we are still behind because we are operating at 48%, but we are building on that one so that we can operate at a reasonable capacity. So that speaks to the question of recruitment. The other questions that were raised deals with the issue of economic crimes, how we are dealing with economic crimes. We need to be indicating that within the DPCI, we have got three legs that are mostly operational. So the serious organized crime deal with the organized crime as a basis. But those matters that also affect finances also find address in that space. In the serious corruption environment, there are also some of the serious economic offenses that are also handled there, because it's not only corruption, but that corruption at some stage also deal with economic, serious economic offenses. When it comes to the commercial crime, true commercial crime, we have got the serious commercial crime, including the serious economic offenses. Those are focusing specifically on the specific type of serious commercial crime investigation. As an example, we can talk of issues like municipalities that are being affected. We have established teams that is government investigation. So those institutions that belong in the government, we have established a team. We, I think in the media, we may have been reading when the team is going to specific municipalities, effecting an arrest on a number of officials that got involved. So we focus on these types of economic offenses. So all our three legs also touches on economic offenses. So that speaks to how we are addressing economic crimes. The other three questions that we raise, I think they are more of administrative in nature, that I think that the greater service shall have touched on them. The issue of the progress with regard to the separate program, I think that internally we discuss and raise on it. I think that the greater service shall have responded on it. And then with regard to the ring fencing of the budget of the DPCI, we happily indicate that that I think has been practiced, as there is always a specific amount that is ring fenced. So that is in short with regard to the response to the questions that have been raised. If I have missed any other one, I think my deputy can also supplement. Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We're not sure whether General Msikiri would like to add, but the head of DPCI might have sufficiently responded. Honorable Chair, we are also going to encourage provincial commissioners to close the gap between them and the as well as the honorable members in the various provinces, so that the information, which among others they escalated here, we share it at the level of the province and operationalize it at the earliest convenience. And finally, Chair, when we introduced the community in blue concept, there were two of these concepts. The next one was the country in blue. But when we intended to implement the country in blue concept, we were disturbed by the corruption of the blue lights. Now that we dealt with that corruption and we are in a process of completing the acquisition of blue lights, we will be introducing this particular concept formally in the few months to come, where immediately at sunset, all the vehicles belonging to subs will put the blue lights on, and at sunrise, they will only switch them on there. So this is just to complement visibility. It will start very soon. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. We're handing back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Deputy
Minister?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks, and thanks General Sithole, General Levia, and the team for the responses to the question. Just to re-emphasize what Northwest said with regard to Klerksdorp Makhosana matter, which Honorable Dodovo raised around the gangster activities, a phenomenon which was not always in that township, but it was brought in by the dynamics in the area. We have acted appropriately even before the Imbizo that he mentioned. People were arrested after we received the information of what happened there. When we were there, there were people who already the police has taken action on. And as you can hear from the input by the general here, that further arrests were conducted and that those who are still in And I'm happy that the National Commissioner has already indicated that General Mfazi will liaise with the Honorable Dodova so that we can take further the issues that he raised on the platform with regard to the information that is available, which is bordering on criminality or is about criminality, and nothing is done, because he mentioned that some of the things is common knowledge and it's possible that it might have skipped us as the police. And I think General Mfazo will take that process forward as directed by the National Commissioner, so that we deal with those issues. There must be no criminal activity that takes place that members are aware of and that it does not reach us and we don't do anything about it. As the police, we have a constitutional mandate to deal with anything that breaks the law. And we can't be associated with that, like it has already been indicated that one member from Matosane municipality, who is a member of the South African police, has already been taken out of the system because they don't deserve to be part of it. And those that are involved with gangsters, they're either selling drugs or being part of the gangsters themselves, we will definitely take action against them. But obviously, like we said, Chair, when we were in Makosana, that the South African police will not defeat criminality in that community unless there is collaboration amongst community members with the South African police. And it is only through that type of collaboration that we'll be able to deal with these matters. Like it has been indicated, if the Honorable Dodova did not raise the issues, we're not going to take it up, man. But now that he has raised it, we will liaise with him and all other members that have information which can assist us to ensure that we create a better environment for our communities to live in. We will collaborate with such members, and we are quite grateful, Chair, for interacting with yourself from time to time, because it opens us up and it also gives us certain dimensions that ordinarily we will not be able to see as the South African police. So we appreciate the interactions that we have with the select committee from time to time, and thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to interface with provinces on the issues that you have experienced in your respective provinces, because this is indeed a platform wherein provinces come together to interface with national dynamics, and we really value this interaction. Thank you very much, Commissioner, and your team for the manner in which you responded to the issues raised. Thank you very much.
The Minister and the team for those elaborate and responses. I think you've covered actually most of all of the questions. However, I want to just find out from Honourable Menendez if you have any follow-up. But yes, I also yes. want, I see Honourable Mpeto's head has been up for a very long time. But Honourable Mpeto, I'll take you. But members, I also want you to bear in mind that we will further engage the department on Friday as well when we deal with the budget and the APP of ITIS and the CSP. So some of the issues related to ITIS and the CSP, I think we can also take it up at that time. But let me hand over to Honourable Tepo.
No, a quick one, Chair. Thanks for the response that we got from the team. I call them the team because it was a teamwork. But I just want to refer them. There was one issue that touches me about the issue of the police, especially for those young men and girls that are reservists. In some areas like Pinetown, I happened to go there in that police station. I met almost more than six of the reservists, and they happen to know me that I'm a member of parliament. They were very unhappy, Chair,
where they were telling me that there are new reservists that has been recruited to go for a training. Some of them, even though they qualified, they've passed the test and they've got the relevant qualification, but they were not taken there. So I think certain people are not applying this policy accordingly. I would just want to refer them to Pinetown Police Station in KZN, just to check all the reservists that are there, especially those that have served for more than 5 years and above, as to why are they not being selected to go for a training. That is one, Chair. The quick one, the other one, Chair, I don't know whether the department, is it now not time to think of having their own garage, because they are, we are seeing these cars, police van, lying in certain foul garage, not even professional garage, where they are being maintained. And in those garage, Chair, you will find that two days later, they are sitting on the stone. Others, you can see that the cars are still new, but nothing major that those cars are coming in and out of those garages. I think, Chair, that one, I don't know whether we need to set up a special unit where this police van can be mechanically be fixed, other than this garage that are being sent to. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkeka. Deputy Minister, I don't know if you want to just give a quick response on the two issues raised. And then I think we can, I see Honorable Nkosi also has her hand up. Honorable Nkosi.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I don't know whether I heard correctly when they respond, because I was driving, you know. I'm not too sure. On the issue of the police stations that I've asked about, the three police stations, the reasoning behind, and I've heard that those three police stations are being that are going to be built in Northwest. Really, I must indicate if I've heard them correctly, because I was driving. To me, it's a serious concern that in one province, the police stations are going to be built, whereas there are other provinces that are in dying need of the police station. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nkosi. Deputy Minister, it's three issues. If you could quickly perhaps respond to those so that we can then get to conclusion of this.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair. The Honorable Member said that they asked a question and from there switched off. And then after that switched on and asked the same question. I'm just saying that she said she asked a question and she was driving, so she lost network and reconnected. The commissioner did talk to that question, but I think we can repeat the question again. The issue of reservists, yes, reservists have been taken. If there are reservists that feel that they've been, they've passed everything and they were excluded, they should give us that information, because we have put up a team that deals with appeals, and I'm part of that team. But we've been working very close with the general around that, and we have dealt with the appeals that were raised. This we didn't get, but I think it will be good that we get this information and check, because there's no single reservist who was excluded who have passed the test. And those that have failed, we have explained to them. So even these ones, we can, we can get in touch with them. Maybe Honorable Mthethwa, if he can give us the information around them, their contact details, we can get in touch with them and verify the facts. It has been an open and thorough process that, you know, it was properly handled, and we can look into the matter. And the issue of the garages, maybe we do have garage shops that where we repair cars. And if there are instances, because Honorable Mteto is saying that you find a car being repaired under a tree. I'm not sure about that. Maybe National Commissioner, you can talk to that briefly, and including this one of the police stations. It's through you, Chair.
Not under the tree, Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, let me start with the one of the garage. I'm sure there is infrastructure. Firstly, in the turnaround, as part and parcel of the turnaround for the garages, one of the requests, which is a policy request, and we have also asked our portfolio committee to provide support, is to ask for certain functions which relate to infrastructure of the police to be devolved to the police, because the infrastructure side of garages is dealt with by Public Works. It's not part and parcel of the devolved functions that are given to SAPS. But we have taken note of the point that has been brought forward by the honorable member, and we are going to incorporate it into the turnaround, the garage turnaround, so that we look at various other ways of speeding up the process of getting more vehicles available operationally. Then with regard to the police station's chair, I just want to start by saying there's a national priority list of police stations that need to be built, which cuts across all the 9 provinces. And when we build police station according to the community needs, that is across those provinces, and then we build them according to that particular priority list. The stations which we have referred to are stations which were already constructed, but they were not finished. And as a result of either legal issues or failure of the contractors to perform their duties. And that's where we said 3 of those are in the Northwest, but those are not necessarily newly built police stations. I think if for newly built police stations, both Northwest and the other provinces have got stations on that particular list, and that's how we just wanna explain it. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, dear.
Yeah, thank you very much, Deputy Minister, for all of those responses. And I think we're moving towards the end of the meeting. But let me thank you, Deputy Minister, the National and the Deputy National Commissioners, the Divisional Commissioners, the Provincial Commissioners, General Abia, and all other officials for your input and engagement with the committee members on the APCM budget. I think that this was a very constructive engagement. And we also understand that all government departments are struggling with budget cuts and working under difficult circumstances. But we wish to encourage the departments to continue working towards decreasing crime, especially gender-based violence within communities that we all serve. Deputy Minister, our responsibility to do oversight and to ensure executive accountability. And based on this engagement and the information shared, I think the committee will do oversight over the programs as presented. And I think, as I've indicated, that we'll also await other written information from the department, which was confirmed by the National Commissioner. And I think the suggestion to strengthen the link between members of the committee in the various provinces and the provincial commissioners can be quite a good thing, and it will go a long way in terms of addressing some of the provincial issues that we tend to raise at this platform. As I've indicated earlier, we will be engaging further with the department when we deal with the budget and APP of IFRS and the CPS the CSP for it's on Friday, Deputy Minister. We hope to see you then. I think we should also thank the department for all the good work that you do, and wish you well in your endeavours to meet the ATP targets and within the current budgetary constraints. Let me also thank all honourable members for your attendance and participation on this budget and ATP. I think this was very fruitful and constructive. Thank you all very much, and let me then declare this meeting closed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Teres. Thank you, members.
Thank you,
Thanks, Chair.
There's a problem.